Morning, councillors.
Morning, Mayor.
Notice of council meeting, 19th of August. In accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, notice is hereby given that an ordinary meeting of Central Highlands Council is scheduled to be held in the council chamber Bothwell on Tuesday, 19th of August 2025, commencing at 9 with the business of the meeting to be in accordance with the following agenda paper. In accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015 Part 2 Division 1, a notice of the meeting was published on the council website on the 1st of August 2024. General Manager Certification. Pursuant to Section 65(1) of the Local Government Act 1993, I hereby certify with respect to the advice, information and or recommendation provided for the guidance of Council in this agenda that A. Such advice, information and or recommendation has been given by a person who has the qualifications or experience necessary to give such advice, and B, where any advice is given by a person who does not have the required qualifications or experience, that person has obtained and taken into account the advice from an appropriately qualified or experienced person. Section 65(2) forbids council from deciding any matter which requires the advice of a qualified person without considering that advice. Dated on the 14th day of August 2025, Stephen Mackey, Acting General Manager. Now we have an order of business. And the meeting commenced at 9. You'll notice there's a spare space between Councillor Cassidy and Hall, and that's just in respect to Councillor Bailey's passing for the moment.
I thought that was because of Johnny's wafting.
Audio recording. Disclaimer, the Mayor advises the meeting and members of the public that council meetings, not including closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on Council's website in accordance with Council's Policy 2017-50. The Mayor also advises that members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings of Council meetings without prior approval of being granted. Acknowledgement of Country. I acknowledge and pay respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continuing custodians of this land on which we gather today, and acknowledge and pay respect to elders past, present and future. Conduct of council meetings. Central Highlands Council takes safety seriously. We have a duty to ensure that we provide a safe workplace for our employees, councillors, contractors and members of the public while present at council's workplaces. These premises form part of the council's workplace, and it is expected that everyone who attends council meetings will behave in a polite and respectful manner. People should refrain from using offensive or derogatory language or comments, and not be aggressive, threatening or speak in a hostile manner. Those present is myself, the Deputy Mayor, Paul Wright, Councillor Miller, Councillor Archer, Councillor Honour, Councillor Meacham, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Hall, the Acting General Manager Stephen Mackey, Executive Officer Katrina Brazendale taking the minutes. In the gallery we have Damien from New Norfolk News, we have Kat, our Community Development Officer, and Steve Laurie in the gallery. Where's Zeeshan? Has he gone? Oh, Zeeshan, I couldn't see you over there. And we have Zeeshan, our finance manager. Considerations of supplementary items to the agenda. May I have a mover, please?
There are none.
There's none? Okie doke, that is good. Let's fix that one nice and short. 3, declaration of pecuniary interest and conflict of interest by councillors and staff. in accordance with the requirements of Part 2, Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2015, the chairperson of a meeting is to request councillors to indicate whether they have or are likely to have a pecuniary interest or conflict of interest in any items of the agenda. Do I have any? Councillor Honour?
16.1.
Councillor Honour, 16.1.
And I have one also, which is 12.3.
Katrina is 12.3. Any others? No others? Rightio. Minutes. Confirmation of minutes of the draft ordinary council meeting on the 15th of July. May I have a mover, please? Councillor Honour and a seconder. Councillor Hall. Any comment, Councillor Honour?
No.
Councillor Hall?
No.
Councillor Laws? Alrighty, if there's no comments, I will ask you to raise your hands in favour of the recommendation, please. And I will record all councillors that are here. Yes? Thank you. So that's carried. Notification of council workshop, Neil. Future workshops. The purpose of the report is for councillors to note the council workshop dates, and we have the 26th of August, 9:30 at Bothwell. Public question time. I won't go through a whole lot of the rules because it will take a considerable time, but I will say that a member of the public may give written notice to the general manager 7 days before a meeting of a question to be put to the meeting. The chairperson may invite any member of the public present at a meeting to ask questions without notice relating to activities of council subject to the provisions of Clause 2. And we have 12 dot points there, which I won't read out. I think you're all familiar with that. Move on to petitions.
Debbie, is there any?
Oh, sorry. Is there anyone in the gallery? Oh, Steve?
Yeah, just a quick one. Probably more than a year ago, I did ask a question relating to the upgrading of the bridge over the Shannon up at Myena. And at the time, I think it was resolved that you would write again and make representations to the appropriate people. I'm just wondering, after 12 months, has there been any response?
There has been letters written in regard to this. Would you like to respond to that, Steve?
Yeah, look, there's been, and even through the election phase, it was one of the ones that was raised through the election phase. No joy at this point in time, unless someone else has got different news than I have.
Okay, Councillor, thanks, Steve. Councillor Meacham, then Cassidy.
Celia, it's just going to be the subject of an inquiry to you, because I recall that State Growth came back and said that they would put additional signage on the southern approach before Christmas. Mm. And I was actually going to check with Jess Weston, but I'm pretty sure nothing's been done.
I would say exactly the same.
Yeah, it's exactly as I remember it. So they've fallen down. That was one of the a series of things I wanted to put to you, Steve. So it's unfollowed.
We'll be sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Councillor Cassidy?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Councillor Zoya, have repeatedly written to various ministers regarding the bridge over the Shannon River. Dangerous, and I've received plenty of replies to the opposite. The state government doesn't consider it dangerous, especially for the traffic flow. So there you have it. Nothing will be done.
And that's a copy I was going to mention in my mayoral announcement. That's to Jeremy Rotcliffe, and it names the Shannon in those commitments as well. So we have been working on it, but we're not getting very far at this moment. Does that answer your question, Steve?
Yes, it does.
All right. Any other questions about that? No? All good? All righty. Anything else from the gallery? No? Okie dokie, we'll go to number 7, petitions, deputations, presentations. Petitions, Neil. Deputations, we've got Eve Lazarus coming in from Durham Catchment, and Don Thompson and Bree Hunter from Hydro. What sort of time they've
Ten and ten fifteen.
Thanks. Presentations. Notice of motions under Regulation 16 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulations 2015 relating to motions on notice. It states that the following: a councillor may give to the general manager at least 7 days before a meeting, give written notice of a motion together with supporting information and reasons to be included on the agenda of that meeting. Notice of motion by Councillor Meacham. The mover is Councillor Meacham. Could I have a seconder? Councillor Cassidy. Okie dokie. Would you like to speak to your motion, Councillor Meacham?
Yes. Look, in relation to this standard, which I used to be pretty familiar with, the monitor is a fresh edition 2023, but the previous one I knew reasonably well. I went looking for commentaries on the standards, and none of them actually referred to the dark sky imperative, the preservation of dark skies. The commentaries all referred to being a good neighbour, making sure that external lighting didn't stray into a neighbour's property to the point that it was a nuisance, and disruption to wildlife. Once I read those commentaries, I think that this is a standard that's worth endorsing for the non-dark sky elements alone. We need to be good neighbours, and in relation to particularly the Central Plateau communities, Bronte, Derwent Bridge, where bush comes right up to the housing, then controlling the lighting so that it hits the area that it's supposed to hit, which is the ground level, not projected up, wasted up into the sky, just makes sense. When visitors come to Tasmania, there are two prime things they go looking for. One is platypus, and hence, you know, the enhancement to the platypus world. That's a big tourism element. The second one is to sight the aurora. I can't afford to buy the standard. It was about $170, but I did know the previous. It simply requires that the lighting be directed where it's supposed to go, generally down at ground level. One of my sons lives in Coonabarabran, which is a dark sky community, and the beauty there is you can step right outside his place in the middle of town and you can instantly see the stars. They've had a dark sky policy for decades, and it really works. This is, for me, it's part of what I see as the long game. The long game is that we can promote ourselves as a dark sky community. We can encourage neighbouring LGAs to do the same, and we can promote ourselves as a tourism destination that does it. The costs involved for an ordinary build are inconsequential. This, though, you know, with the industrial estate plan, Robert out at Weasel Plains, this would be an obvious instance where the industrial lighting there can be required to be projected down, not to obscure the sky. I think that's about it.
So, Councillor Cassidy is the seconder, and I believe this was addressed a long time ago, Councillor Cassidy.
Yes, Madam Mayor, before David was elected to council, in fact, I contacted MLC Craig Farrell and Greens Minister Cassie O'Connor on the 23rd of May 2021 in dark skies, and I sent them a Senate Bill 52 and suggested that legislation be written. So I think it was in 2023, I just sent everybody a email where Cassie O'Connor had made an announcement to the state parliament and so forth about dark skies. That was followed up in 2024 by Minister Vicka Bailey. Tabitha Badger has had a go. And last council meeting, I actually raised it with nearly laughed out of the room. I'm surprised they didn't support me then. I've been on about dark skies only because I do a bit of, fair bit of astrophotography from my backyard, and I have this stadium light to contend with, so too bad if there's an aurora on or something that is passing overhead that I want to photograph. So dark skies is important, but this is a planned mission, and what I would suggest is that our council write to the Tasmania Planning Commission and the Planning Minister and suggest to them that it should be imperative. It should be included in our planning scheme. Mm-hmm. There's so much, not our planning scheme, I mean the state planning provisions. There's so much that's not included in the state planning provisions that I find it quite deficient. And I've written the Tasmania Planning Commission about that as well on more than one occasion. And I phoned and made calls to them. So I think the best thing that we can do, should do, as it's really relates to planning, is that we should write to the Minister for Planning. We'll have a new one announced probably later today. And we should write to the Tasmania Planning Commission. Those are my views on it. I've been going on about it for a long time. And thanks, Dave, for reinforcing my intentions.
Councillor Miller and Archer and Allwright.
I like the motion because it doesn't cost us anything to start off. In fact, it'll save us some money on lighting. I know up at the Hamilton Plains, I've been told up that way, and that, you know, I mean, it's as close to a town as you can get, can be really good at the night time up there. The one thing that, when I first read it, one thing that came to mind was the council yards that we had at Hamilton, and I know I've had a few people say that the lighting there protrudes, and I don't know whether Jason's done anything about it, but yeah, the security lighting is something we have to look at in certain areas. But yeah, I think it's a great idea. They don't have to go all the way up to travel all the way up to get it. If we can do it around, don't know if there's anywhere around Bothwell, but I know at Hamilton, you've got the Hamilton Plains up there, and they're high enough and, to get away from the lights.
Councillor Archer.
Yeah, I can see merit, but I've got serious concerns. I think we need more information, particularly in things like artworks. I'm talking about the Mona exhibit every year where they're using things like skylighting. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't like to see that precluded. So I think we need two areas of more information. One of them is where artworks, for instance, would fit into the policy, and I would imagine there would be exemptions. If we were to proceed with it, there would need to be included in a policy for those primary exemptions, but also the matter of cost. What will it cost us as a community going forward to modify existing infrastructure? And I can see that for new infrastructure, we can look at it quite differently if it isn't prohibitive. But I do think we need to look at the cost of modifying our existing infrastructure and get some idea of that before we perhaps vote on the motion.
Rightio, well, we have the recommendation in front of us to you. Councillor,
all right, go for it. So, Anthony covered some of what I was going to say, but I'd be a bit worried. I mean, how are we going to enforce it? Like, you say there's no cost to council. What are we going to do? Make a bylaw, and then we've got to go around and enforce it. So, you know, it's more red tape. I went to the, we saw the Northern Lights in Norway. They just went out to a park about half an hour out of town. Councillor Cassidy's taking photos of the rural here where we're in Bothwell.
Yes, absolutely.
Is this a problem, such a problem, that we've got to add another layer of red tape?
Mm. Okay, any other councillors before I go back to Councillor Meacham to close? No, Councillor Meacham, you'd like to close?
Rather than reference to your point, the Weasel Plains decision related only to the construction phase, and if you look at the documentation, they actually make a commitment to put non-obtrusive lighting in. But the usual construction phase is 2 years. So if we get this measure into place, and the costs are really nothing more than putting shading over the lighting to make sure that it doesn't go. And if you're building a house, you put your lighting under the eaves. And the other thing is that in common with most of our all of our regulations, it's prospective, it's not retrospective. We're not going out there and saying to people, you've got to pull down that outside lighting.
Or suggesting the council might want to modify its porch perhaps, is that retrospective?
Yeah, and that's right, and would be retrospective, and we don't do that. This could give us a basis as a council to then go after grants and say, look, we want the sports ground to be more compliant, we want to, you know, refit the lighting there. It's, like I say, it's part of the long game in relation to tourism development, not just here, but across Tasmania. No, just a moment. The other part is that the leading light in terms of the Aurora Chasers and Margaret Solomon, she's talked about, written about, you know, promoting Aurora observation sites. I mean, it could fit into that plan too, into that perspective. So when it comes up to Weasel Plains going to that industrial park stage, we could have the standard in place. The costs are really, really minor. Like I said, they're just a matter of shading. Robert, yes, I think a good supplement to this would be also writing to the state government and prompting other LGAs to follow our approach.
So we have the recommendation in front of us. You've just closed now, so the debate's finished on that at the moment. I will put the recommendation for and against up. So those councillors for the recommendation, please raise your hands. Councillor Miller and Councillor Meacham, obviously. And those against? Councillors, all right, Honour, Cassidy, Hall and Triffitt.
Is it possible to amend? I'm just suggesting that you write to the state government.
Well, that's gone through now. We'd need a new motion, wouldn't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So that was lost. So now, Councillor Cassidy, if you wish to have a new motion.
Yes. I'd like to amend it
The motion has been lost.
The motion is lost.
So it's a new motion.
So can we go ahead with...
It'd have to be a new motion.
Next month, is it?
I'd say that that's the best process.
Leave it till next meeting and have a motion prepared.
Yes.
Is that okay, Councillor Cassidy?
That's fine. It's another month, please. That's all. I mean,
yep.
I'll be happy to write a letter if you guys want. You know, just tell me to do it, I'll do it. I'm happy to test the politicians.
Well, that can be a discussion from here on, not at the meeting today. Okay. All righty. The next one is 8.2. It's from Councillor Meacham, and it's moved by Councillor Meacham. May I have a seconder, please? Councillor Miller. And that's to do with the present system of the mayor deciding the seating order of the councillors being discontinued. Am I allowed to comment on this? I would be, I hope.
Yeah, you can. You can.
Yeah. I just want to give you the reason. And Councillor Miller, Meacham and Miller are new councillors, but it's always been the mayor, from years and years, the mayor normally delegates the seating for the councillors in the best way she or he believes it's strategic, the best way to work, because every councillor brings something to the table. And if it's those councillors are placed strategically, it usually works best that way. So that's just giving you a little bit of background of what happens normally.
probably should have said that after Councillor Meacham had had his go. But anyway.
Oh, yes. Well, I did ask you.
Yeah, you can, but yeah.
All righty. Yeah, so, it was moved by Councillor Meacham, second by Councillor Miller. Now,
Councillor Meacham.
Oh, Councillor Meacham.
Okay, thank you. When I first came to sit as a councillor, I was amazed to find that I was directed where to sit. There was no consultation there who asked me. I was sat here and I've repeatedly been prompted to, you know, come back to the spot. When I was committee clerk in New South Wales 30 something years ago, it was the practice that as councillors entered the room, they picked up this placeholder and they sat where it made sense for them to sit on that night. So if they had to be close to the chief engineer because they were speaking to an engineering concern, they sat down close to the engineer. That was their strategic choice. When I was speaking, writing to this motion with a fellow resident, he said what you're required to sit kindergarten style, kindergarten approach. And I said yes, and then I thought about it, I thought, no, not even in primary school was I required to sit in one spot every time. In my adult life, if I'm given the theatre ticket, I sit where I should go. And if I go to weddings, I follow the bride and groom's, you know, choice about where I sit. That's fine. Both of those are understandable. But council meetings, it seems ridiculous.
And with your motion... I want to ask you about your motion.
Yes, I'm speaking to the motion.
Yeah, I need I need to ask you a question about that shortly.
Well, give me a chance.
So
this is unilaterally decided by the mayor. Strategically, you say, but strategic for whom? It's certainly not strategic for us. As much as anything, this is a call to action around the table here. We face serious problems, and as a call to action, I'll give you two instances where I think some breaking of this ridiculous order might make sense. And I'll refer to you, John, and to you, Anthony. Both of you, I know, have great ideas and knowledge in relation to council plant and equipment. I'd like you to be, whether it's an ordinary meeting or a workshop, you know, sit together, talk through what you've got, the ideas you have. My favourite cause in this council is to try to get renewable energy firms to pay rates. Now, credit to Jim and Steve in particular that they've got to the point, we've got to the point we're at with the state government, but it's not a terribly workable decision. Now, when the time comes that we've got Guy Nash as the Value General sitting across the table, or Minister Ellis or Minister Dwegan, I would far prefer to be sitting beside Steve and literally sharing notes with him as we go through and talk to him about all the ridiculous impediments in terms of implementing the AAB approach. So this rigidity in our seating order is counterproductive.
Thank you.
No, Mayor, if it is driven by some deep strategic thinking, you need to show us. I mean, this strategic reasoning on your part, it is not apparent at all. The whole forced seating arrangement feels pointless, counterproductive and baseless. It feels that way because it is pointless, counterproductive and baseless.
Thank you. With your third paragraph, you mentioned about working on motions and that. You come with your motions prepared. You don't sit around working on motions at a meeting. I just wanted to clarify what you meant by that.
You speak to them. Thank you, sorry.
Thank you.
I looked all that. Thank you. Thank you for all that.
Alrighty, Councillor Miller, you were the seconder. Do you have anything?
Yes. And I'll probably... I agree with you totally, otherwise I wouldn't have seconded. Just because it's always been doesn't mean it has to be. At first it was okay because we were new councillors, and I know that you've sat up between existing councillors that have been here for a while, but we're here we've been here nearly a full term, and I think that needs to go. But I have asked you in the past, especially at the beginning, to move me from here because at the beginning I had trouble, not anymore. I had trouble with Jim being disrespectful and going like that to me, and it was denied. I think that we should be able to, if I've got something that I need to be with David, I should be able to sit next to him. I just don't see the justification. And can I ask, is there anything in the local government act that says that the mayor has to direct?
Just stick with the recommendation.
No. That's part of his.
Well, that's your research. Perhaps you could research that. At the moment, I have a recommendation in front of me. Councillor Meacham spoke, Councillor Miller spoke, now it's up for councillors to speak, and then I'll put a for and against up. So it's Councillor Cassidy and Archer and Orr. Councillor Cassidy.
I've been sitting pretty much in this spot since 2014, and I just don't give a rat's. This is just such a small matter. Mayor Flint assigned me to this suit position. I was happy to sit here. It doesn't make any difference. We're a small collective here. Why not think and work collectively? During a council meeting, we're not going to be sitting beside each other and shouldn't be sitting beside each other and whispering over, because it detracts from the overall meeting, in fact. We have meeting procedures. I think it's up to the mayor's discretion. I just don't see it as being necessary to get under her skin over this issue or the next mayor or the next mayor. The mayors, I pretty much think they can do, in certain situations like this, they can do as they please. It's a small thing, and arguing over small things, that's all it does is detract from the function of council. We have far more important things that we should be discussing. I just feel very, very frustrated to listen to this discussion.
Thank you. Councillor Archer.
Mayor, one advantage of the current system is at least someone will sit with me.
Okay, Councillor, all right.
We've got to sit somewhere.
All right, well, thank you, councillors, for the input. All right, so I will put the... Councillor Meacham has to close, so I close the debate.
In relation to some of the things I've said, there are plenty of mayoral privileges that are well established in the Local Government Act and the meeting procedures. I'd say this is as much as anything a call to action for us to be more proactive on issues. For anybody who read my article in the last Highland Digest, we've got our three major towns are dying on their feet.
But how does that relate to you?
You're closing the recommendation, Councillor.
I said it is a call to action for us to be more active, attending to the... Look at this, We've got important matters to attend to, and I'd like to see us energised to do so.
We're changing cities, not going to do that.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Debate's closed, and now I will have a for the recommendation or against. Those for that recommendation, Councillor Meacham, Miller and Archer, those against. Councillor Allwright, Honour, Cassidy, Hall and Triffitt, so it's lost. Thank you. 8.3, Councillor Miller.
That
has to go
to the next meeting.
That can't go across the table today, and it'll go to the next meeting.
No.
Okay. 8.4, Councillor Miller. Now, Councillor Miller's moved. Can I have a seconder?
I'll second the meeting. Start this guy.
Councillor Archer. Okay, Councillor Miller.
I realise that this is a subject close to some people's hearts, but everyone has their opinion and is allowed to express them. However, I feel that the acknowledgement to country is losing its effectiveness and its meaning, and meaning being used over and over again at each meeting. At a conference attended last year, all except one speaker gave an acknowledgement to country, so we had it about six times and I got sick of it. Once is enough. I don't want a ban, but to be used in important events. There's also an opportunity here to rewrite it and change it in some way that is meaningful to these proceedings. I've had the opportunity to do some research, and in doing so, had a conversation with Mara Mansell and an email from Jacinta Nappin, whatever Price. I can never remember that name. Who both agreed it is losing its meaningless. It's losing its meaning by being overused. Thinking about this, I'd like to see, and it's probably something we can put to a future meeting, I'd like to see a plaque of acknowledgement to the Indigenous people who inhabited this piece of land, and placed within the Central Highlands. And again, this can be organised through the Tasmanian Aboriginal Council. I ask that you give it special thought and maybe a suggestion from your own opinions. But I don't feel this. It's just words to me. I'm sorry if I upset people. But that's my opinion. I'd like to know what everybody else thinks.
Thank you. And just for your information, using Nala's name supporting this is inappropriate. I was speaking with Nala yesterday, so we need to be very careful there.
I just wanted to put it in that I had.
Yes, be careful. And I mean, it's really up to the Aboriginal community instead of, a white person having points of view. So we need to be very careful how we approach this. Alrighty, so I've got Councillor Archer as the seconder, then I've got Councillor Cassidy, Honour and Meacham. Councillor Archer.
Mayor, I take it just to make sure that it gets to the table, that there'll be a discussion on the issue. I don't think anyone would deny the catastrophic effect that Europeans coming to Tasmania had on the local Indigenous people. And I don't think there's anyone in the room that would dismiss that as being a terribly sad occurrence. But I have got some sympathy for the views of Councillor Miller in terms of the importance of keeping this as a very meaningful statement rather than just being lost as part of government. So I'll support her actually in the vote that we need to keep these sort of very important statements to be used at appropriate times rather than just become dogmatic.
Thank you. Councillor Cassidy.
Yes, fellow councillors. firstly, I'd like to say that a plaque is not part of this motion here. Secondly, I want to point out that as you note in the background details, this goes way back 1970, 1973, PM Paul Keating, etc. This is a national issue that needs to be addressed by the federal government or the state government, and they should pass it down to us as they did regarding Australia Day and our activities as a council on Australia Day. So I think that's where it should lie. We've got a remit here at our level of government, rates, roads, and rubbish, and I think we ought to just stick to that. Those are the issues that we should be pursuing and looking at for the ratepayers. This acknowledgement to country, I don't know. You know, personally, I feel sympathetic for both views in that what my fellow counselors may not know is that through DNA testing a few years ago, I discovered I'm 12.8% Native American. As a child, I actually lived on an Indian reservation, the Tuscarora Indian Reservation, and I was a victim of racism. My younger brothers and myself, we were refused to ride on a school bus to St. Teresa's Elementary School, Catholic Elementary School. So I've been on both ends of this, in a different country, of course, listening to my accent, but I don't know. Our council, this small little council, is not going to change the entire nation. And I don't think that we should use this opportunity to try to do that. I think we should wait let the federal government address it and pass it down to us what they want to do.
And I don't know, I guess councillors are aware that Hobart City Council also had this with Louisa Elliott. It was on an ABC article, 29th of July. And, that was quite a debate, and council voted 8-4. And similar motions, like Elliott's, have failed in Burnie and Flinders Island, so it's an ongoing issue, obviously. But I think we need to be careful that we are not perceived as uneducated and racist. So it's quite a tricky thing to have here. I'm disappointed that it's up here, actually. But anyway, Councillor Honours next, and Councillor Meacham.
Okay, Deepak says yes, it is. It's usually with or state government, local government, schools. They all have it, and it's actually meant to be said before anything else on the agenda. It's the acknowledgement of country.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Meacham.
It's worth looking at the history of the acknowledgement of country that we make. And from 1770, we had a succession of Brits who arrived in this country and proclaimed, the land in the name of the British Crown. It's worth remembering that the legal fiction of Terra Nullius served that settlement. And it's only through a chain of transactions that we end up with secure titles to our properties today. It's worth remembering 1992, Eddie Marvo and his neighbours getting all the way to the High Court, and after 200 plus years putting aside or extinguishing that notion of terra nullius. That's how long we live with it. This is all in the lifetime, I believe, of everyone around the table except Zeeshan, I think. It's worth remembering the assimilation policy and its full sibling, the White Australia policy. Again, that wasn't fully extinguished until the early 1970s. It was within our lifetime. It's not ancient history. It's worth remembering that there was never a war settlement, never a treaty with Indigenous people. The Indigenous people never relinquished control of their land. It's worth remembering, as Councillor Miller cites, that this is part of that, our acknowledgement is part of the reconciliation process. Now, are we or are we not committed to reconciliation? In the 2023 voice referendum, 80% of the, yes, I know, 80% of the locals voted no in that voice. So it's consistent across the polling places. Thank you, Damien. Consistent across the places that it was only 20% support. Now, if we pass this motion, we can go out campaigning next year. We've got regular acknowledgement. And it will be electorally popular to do so. But do we preserve and accept the need for reconciliation? I think this motion is part of the culture wars. I know it's part of the conscious wars. It's part of the conscious wars nonsense. And I've seen the online memes. We don't need to be welcome to our own country. If this motion, if passed, won't deliver a cent to our bottom line, look again. It won't do. It won't give us another centimetre of seal brighter. I don't think it's worth.
No, it's just you can't speak.
The energy. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Allwright.
Thanks, Mayor. I'll note for well over half of my time as council, which is nearly 20 years now, we never had. Well, councillors, only when you became mayor and you introduced it without the authorisation of council.
Thank you. Alrighty, so, no other councillors? No. And back to the closer, who is Councillor Miller?
Oh, I think that it is up to each individual council whether they use it or whether they decide to rewrite it so that it has meaning. And I can trace my family back to first settlers here. And I can condemn their actions. But it was past, it was history, I can't change it. I do not like to be made feel guilty about my past family. I'm not racist in any stretch of the imagination. But I don't want to get this banned. What I want to do is to make it meaningful. Now, if it means taking it off the agenda for a while until we can get around the table to make it meaningful, then that's what we do, and that's what I'm hoping to do with this motion. Make it meaningful. Make it meaningful for everybody, whether you're got Aboriginal culture or whether you've been here a long time, your family, or whether you've only just come.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes, I have now finished.
Okay, so I shall put the recommendation and for or against. So those for the recommendation, please raise your hands. Councillor Allwright, Miller, Archer. Those against, Councillor Honour, Meacham, Cassidy, Hall and Trippett. So it's lost. Okay, thank you. Nine is council acting as a planning authority pursuant to Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 and council's statutory land use planning scheme. There's nothing there. The ordinary meeting of council. So we might, alright, we'll go through the mayoral and elected members' activities and then we'll have a quick break for morning tea. Number 11 was the monthly mayoral elected members' activity. You're moving a councillor
Hall
and a second a councillor Honour. You've got that there in front of you. Yes, Councillor Cassidy.
I just would like to add the Ash Cottage event the other day on the 12th of August to 9th. It's been submitted in time to look at training.
Katrina's got that one? Yeah. And Councillor Hall, you were
saying? Yeah, I'm going to submit next month, Mayor. It's a bit too late, and I'm just going to do it next month.
Alrighty. And that was really good up there on that Tuesday we went. Very good. Councillor Meacham?
Mayor, can I just ask the ABC interview, what was that in relation to? I didn't pick it, I didn't hear it.
Where are we? Was that the mayor's? 14th
of June, July.
July.
Was that the...
Your ABC one.
Yeah, that was Mayor's Monday, was it? Which one was it?
No, it's the ABC.
I'd have to go back through my diary. But please ask before the meeting from here on. Thank you. Rightio. So, the seconder was Councillor Honor. Did I ask you if you needed to speak, Councillor Honor?
Oh, no, thank you.
Alrighty. Councillor Laws? Go back to Councillor Hall for the close.
About that, I went to the opening of the Clyde Mill, a new business opening up, revamping the old Nancy Distillery. Great. I reckon they're going to do a great thing in our community to get really going and breathe a bit more fresh air in the community.
Thank you. Any other council comments? Council Hall's actually closed.
Yes,
all right. Those for the recommendation, please raise your hands. That is carried.
Just before we go off that, there's a mayor's announcement that the mayor's probably not aware of at this point in time, but this is from Guy Ellis. It's from the Station Cup Community Gym. They're writing to us in regards to the Bothwell Sheep Station Cup. Interest in helping fund a community project in Bothwell. The Sheep Station Cup has managed to save over 100,000 in 8 years of running with our annual contributions to community groups and other charities. As a committee, we have discussed where this money would best be utilised, and our preference would be to help fund a community gym situated in the Bothwell Recreation Grounds. A community gym would have huge benefit with the community and would be used by a diverse group of people, including the football and cricket clubs, exercise groups, people doing rehabilitation for injuries and personal training. Along with our funding, there would potentially be additional available funds from the Cattle Hill Wind Farm, Elders Community Fund and Arc Energy Community Fund. As stated, our preference would be to support a community gym, but we are open to any suitable project in the Central Highlands.
That's really
thank you.
That's great.
That came in at 8:41 this morning. That's why it's fresh off the press. And Kat wouldn't have you have no knowledge yet.
I've heard a whisper of something, but that's the first I've heard of it. So that's fantastic.
But
then
we need
to have that open
dialogue. Just a minute. Just a minute. And okay, so Kat, you'll be involved in this, obviously. Yeah, as our community development officer, Councillor Miller.
Sounds like a great idea, but if they're going to have it in the, we have to build another room to have the gym. Because I, from what I can understand, there's not a lot of room in that.
Well, if we have Kat on board, there'll be a lot of information come back to council.
Yeah, so that's one thing we'd have to look at, is to probably build first.
We can sort it out.
Yep.
We'll sort it. Councillor Meacham?
If there's any expansion to the Bothwell Recursion Ground, I've played with a childcare centre there, but I know shipping's no money to do it. Yeah.
Mm. Alrighty, so... I just want to read my mayoral announcement. And then we'll take a break. So, did I put that? Yeah, that was carried. Okay, number 11 was mayoral announcement. You can't wait till a letter's written?
No.
Okay, as you know, we've been trying all tiers of government with a commitments list before the election. We've worked together and the acting GM and I have worked together on many things. And the thing is, we sent a letter to the Premier, Jeremy Rockcliffe, and I'll just read that to you so you've got an idea where we're at with all this. Dear Premier Rockcliffe, Jeremy, invitation for cabinet meeting with Central Highlands Council. So we're hoping to get them here for a cabinet meeting. Firstly, congratulations on your re-election as Premier of Tasmania and the installation of your new cabinet. As you are aware, the Central Highlands is part of Lyons, the largest electoral area in Tasmania, which covers 8,010 square k's, or approximately 12% Tasmania landmass, within pristine wilderness areas and world-class fishing lakes. Central Highlands is one of Tasmania's major renewable energy zones, ensuring Tasmania's goal of reaching their renewable energy targets by 2030 is achievable. The large hydro schemes are in our Central Highlands municipality. During the previous government elections, on behalf of Council, I requested commitments for the following. GP service at Ouse, 2 days a week. Still, there's no GP available at the Ouse Medical Centre. Two-way bridge at the Shannon, entrance to the Yingina Great Lake. Emergency services complex to house ambulance, fire brigade and SES at Yingina Great Lake, adjacent to the council-owned Great Lake Community Centre building. New independent living units, 4 in brackets, at Ellendale on land already purchased by council. I'm still lobbying for a commitment from the state and federal governments for the sealing of the Marlborough Highway. Also, a contribution from the state for the Gretna Cricket Club rooms upgrade. And in brackets, I've got council have budgeted $350,000. Council are investigating all grant possibilities to complete the upgrade and be able to develop the facility in line with the current plan for the building. Telecommunication upgrades are an ongoing issue across the whole of the Central Highlands municipality. Pardon me. Premier, I extend an invitation to you and your new cabinet ministers to hold a cabinet meeting in the Bothwell Council Chambers for councillors to meet with you and your new cabinet ministers and elaborate on the issues mentioned above. I thank you and look forward to a reply at your earliest convenience. So that's where we are. That not only went, when did that go, Stephen? Last week?
Last week.
Last week. Okay, so we'll take a short 10-minute break for a quick cover.
There was, in that letter you wrote about the doctor. Unfortunately, I had the opportunity to talk to our paramedic Tushy when he was taking me to hospital last week. His wife put in an application a couple of years ago. Last year?
Yeah.
She's, as he was saying, she's still interested, but he couldn't tell me what was happening. But it would be interesting to do some research on that, find out what's been happening, because, as he said, his wife's still interested in putting her doctor's...
You're talking about the wife at the end of
I know she... There was quite a few things that we said no to, but she's still interested. So I'd like the council to be able to find out why.
She had very ambitious
mind. Oh, yes, she did. But I think she's... I think she's kind of downgraded those ambitions. But after talking to Tony, I think maybe we should be looking at...
Well, she needs to come to council and look over from there, because there's a lot to it, as I said before. Mm. We have to have a... They have to be... A provider, they have to get the provider. There's a lot of...
There's a lot, but it was just interesting to know his wife was still interested.
Yeah, for sure. All righty, we'll have our quick break.
Okay.
Thank you, councillors. Could I have someone to move the agenda back to item 7.2, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Honour? Those in favour of moving, please raise your hands. Okay, that is carried. So we go back to 7.2 for Eve. Eve's going to speak with us about Derwent Catchment and the Drought Ready Fund grant. Welcome, Eve.
Thank you. Nice to see you all. I thank Stephen for the invitation to come and give us an update. Many of you know that we've been waiting for the deed to come through from the... So basically, the grant is administered by DPACS, which is state government. The money comes from the Australian government. So we're actually 3 months late with the deed getting to us in terms of the project plan, but that's okay, we're starting. So the first piece of work has been to work out who owns everything and to go and have a chat to them. So we had a meeting at Richard Hallett's, which is in your report. So we had Scott Hall, which was great, and we had Will and Eddie Bowden, and so Richard hosted. There was also John Fowler and Duncan Campbell, and we just basically were talking about this project as a start of something bigger. Everyone along that river at the Clyde has watched willow control programs come and go. John Fowler remembers steam vehicles being used or steam engines to pull out willows many a year ago. So we all discussed the importance of just not recreating another project which has a bit of money to start off with, and then we get back into the same situation in another 20 years. So when I came and spoke to you last time, I was talking about the nature repair pilot that we were successful with the Australian government, the Labor government, so that's that $10 million big project. So this is a classic example of how we can leverage through that bigger project. We can start with a project plan that basically pulls apart the whole river, a plan for each property in terms of what are the first willows to take, what do we leave this time because it needs a more structured long-term approach. And then, so we'll come up with a plan for each property about willow control works, but the idea is, and everyone had just really assuring, everyone wanted to be supportive of a bigger long-term project, and we're being ambitious, we're saying like a 25-year project for the restoration of the Clyde to get willows out of the whole system. So that was a really great meeting. Everyone recognises that we need something bigger. This project that we're doing now is just one piece of a bigger body of work, because willows are really frustrating. If you've got them in the system, they'll pop up down the road and then we're back again in 20 years if we keep going around the same cycle. So that was really great. And I've got a meeting with the Clyde River Trust to talk to them, and I'm still reaching out to some of the other landowners to talk about this idea that we do the flood money project will be a certain part of it, and that these bits of the white ones will take this project, and then this bigger long-term piece of how do we get investment into the whole river, which is 90 kilometres of willows is what we're talking. Mm-hmm. It's a huge project. Mm-hmm. 90 kilometres. 90K is intermittent, there's some that are really thick, there's some that are not very thick, there's gorges, there's like open flat, so it's a very diverse country, and there's lots of different approaches that we're going to need to use to get this all happening. But the idea is start off with the flood resilience piece, which is what the money's for, but the first piece is the planning piece, and while we're doing the planning we have to do the whole thing because we need to know where you take them. So while we're doing that, it makes sense to create a bigger restoration project that then we can package up and sell basically as part of the nature market. That's what that original $10 million grant was for. So you can imagine we have lots of the land owners on board. They're contributing what they can. The government's already spent $2 million or $1.9 million on flood resilience piece, and then we package up this whole of River Clyde River restoration program, and we look at how we can get investment from the nature markets to support that. And it'll be very attractive because there's a lot of leverage already in it. Everyone's working together and collaborating. We've got established monitoring and evaluation and reporting, so they can see that this is all in hand and being done well. So it's a very attractive proposition from a nature market perspective. So the idea is to think big whilst still doing the immediate grant works.
Thank you, Eva. We'll take questions. Councillor Cassidy.
Dr. Lazarus, when will the first will be pulled from the Clyde?
Well,
can you put a date to it?
Well, with the plan, we said 3 months in the original grant application. We said 3 months to do the planning piece. So we're a month in, really, even though we waited for the grant and we've had to organise stuff and do stuff.
So it could be this summer that you started?
We need to look at what's the excavator work, what's drill and fill work. So there's lots of different ways that willows will be tackled. So it's not just all excavator work. Some of it will be, some of it won't. So, yeah, we hope to have action as soon as possible. We just need that planning piece to inform what we do where first.
And are you going to need a facility from council?
No. The council land piece is all very straightforward. Really, it's just making sure that the rest of the landowners, that we've got a strategic plan for which way to work. We need to work with what they call a fluvial geomorphologist, or a river expert in terms of hydrological flow and engineering. So I've got Julian Martin, been working with him. So the planning piece will inform what gets done where to minimise flood risk is the first piece, but then also thinking about that broader restoration piece. So, yeah, 3 months planning, then we'll start activity.
Thanks very much.
Well, good. Councillor Miller.
Two questions. Is there anyone that you know of that is not in favour of the willow removal? The memory says that we were talking about the Hamilton Showgrounds, and the farmer across wasn't happy about removing or didn't want to remove the...
I don't think so. I think that all of the farmers that I understand the issue. Mm-hmm. I don't think from a farmer's perspective everyone gets the problem. The townships, we need to do some facilitation through the townships to make so that people can understand what we're doing and why. That's a little bit of a separate piece. But the first thing we're looking at is the big areas of land. Because councils own a lot of the land through the townships, it's a little bit less complicated. It's more of a facilitation exercise to tell people what we're doing, but they don't actually directly own it.
Okay. And the other question is, what are you replacing the willows with?
So native vegetation.
Are we getting them from
our nursery? Yeah, so we'll have a restoration piece. We don't have the resources to do a broad scale restoration, but yeah. It'll be putting back in some trees and some grass, like pasture grass, just for a ground cover establishment, and then some trees with cages. So it's going to be less about lots and more about getting a few good trees to grow back, and then trying to manage the thistles and weeds with just the annual and mixed pasture grass.
Great. Thank you.
Councillor Meacham, then all right.
It's not so much a question as just a perspective. When I was in local government in New South Wales, I worked on the Tucker Lake Restoration Program, which was at that time the biggest ever environmental restoration program in Australia.
Yeah, wow.
And one of the things I loved working with the engineers there, they had a perspective about applying as much funds as possible to express, you know, works. And so when it came to whether or not something was going to work, because we were making up the world as we went along, and so we could give them a choice between running expensive studies or just suck it and see. Mm. We went suck it and see, and we ended up well ahead financially. The worst thing we ever did, I think, we killed about 3 bucket loads of broom flathead through draining a park prematurely. So, just that focus upon applying the funds as much as possible to something.
Oh, we very much, we work very much like that. Like the engineering and fluvial geomorph support we're getting, it's not going to be paying for expensive modelling or doing anything
that would be my concern.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't do that. So we've got a lot of the data there's these things called detailed texture terrain models that come out of the LIDAR data that Tasmanian Govern has paid with in conjunction with TasNetwork. So we've got this incredible LIDAR data for Tasmania. So we can use some of that to look at, we can see without the vegetation what the Clyde looks like.
So
we can use a lot of the stuff we've got from a desktop perspective. What we're getting the engineering support with is just a blanket. It's sort of like, this is what we're going to do under these circumstances. This is our plan. Do you agree that that's that's going to lower the risk? So it's more of a sort of, it's an accreditation stamp that what you're doing is solid from an engineering perspective.
Councillor Orrod.
So we talked a bit about this project, but one thing I haven't asked you, do you think water will be more helpful this time round than what they were on the Derwent?
Oh, my God.
Bear in mind that Capital E is a shareholder of the Tasman Water.
There's actually one sewage treatment, like there's one treatment site that they've got, really.
But what about the one in Hamilton?
There's two. Mm. Sorry. There's actually two weird sites in Bothwell, like there's two parcels of land that are together, and then the Hamilton one. The idea is to get everyone at the table. So that's part of this piece, is to get everyone to talk and try and agree that we're all going to work on it together.
Okay, my question was, do you think that we're fingers crossed?
Well, we were just using the last one. They were terrible.
You had to clear around it.
Quickie, that was really disappointing. I think it would reflect badly if they didn't.
Yeah.
This time, if everyone else is on board and we've got, you know, like, support from the whole river, that would be an embarrassing scenario, and I'm sure we could take that up quite high.
They're not particularly big money for
them. No, they don't, but we do have a good contact in there now, Luke, LUC. Last name escapes me at the moment, but he's quite rational, so I can talk to him.
You're talking about a government business enterprise.
I know, but we can only do our best. I think if we can make, like, what I'll do is come to them last, and I'll just show them everyone.
So all this list of people.
All the list of people are going, this is what we're aiming for, what are you putting in?
Yeah.
Yes, that's fine.
Councillor Archer's next, thank you.
Eve, I've expressed to you already, Councillor, disappointment at a previous flood study that was done on both in terms of what was actually delivered on the ground.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of money spent, not very much delivered. In fact, I'd argue nothing was delivered. It didn't even extend far enough up, in my view, to receive accurate measurements of life and flood events and change values. And I just encourage you very strongly to make sure that the money gets spent on the ground, not on fluoro studies and budgie fish and all sorts of other stuff. What is your intention as far as spending money on the ground compared to how much is going into the planning phase?
Well, as always, Anthony, we always work.
As always, doesn't even get bigger.
So the planning piece is 3 months of work. Mm-hmm. We anticipated that it would include $200,000 worth of work to facilitate, make everyone along the river on board and provide a plan and make sure that we've got and this is a whole of river restoration plan, not just a flood plan. So then the rest of it will be spent on on-ground works and activity. But we have demonstrated to you over the last 10 years that we always work to deliver the maximum on ground, and our business has put in hundreds of thousands of dollars into the Derwent Catchment Project over the last 10 years.
So there's $200,000 going into planning?
$250,000 was put in the original grant. Yep. Planning, it's not just planning, it's talking to all the people, it's getting support and advice. Yeah, the flood thing was very different, Anthony, and we have spent a lot of our own money on this project, so it's actually a little bit unfair that you're trying to tie us to the GHC.
I'm not saying that at all. What we're looking for is just making sure that there are outcomes.
And we've demonstrated for 10 years that we've delivered outcomes, and so it is a little bit frustrating to hear that tone, to be honest. We definitely have put our own money into the Derwent Catchment Project. Josie worked for a year voluntarily to get the Derwent Catchment Project going. So it's just a little bit frustrating that you're intimating that we're not going to spend this money.
I'd just like to be clear about that money's going. And what you're saying is $250,000 planning, and then presumably there's going to be ongoing requirement to manage the thing. That would be reasonable, but it's just nice to know how much actually going to go on ground.
Well, but the plan will determine that. So the planning piece will tell you how much. We have to do the plan. So you do the plan, and then you know exactly what the costs are going to be, and then you can articulate how it goes forward. But as always, we will be making sure that the most outcome happens on the ground. And the fact that we got a $10 million grant from the Australian government to then try and support an ongoing program for the next 25 years probably will tell you that we're in it for the right reasons.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Cassidy, all right.
So, Eva, back to you again. I know when you remove the willows, you're not going to be yanking them out by the roots, but just leaving the stumps there. So that should mitigate some of the erosion problems. But do you anticipate from the activity and machinery and so forth that how much erosion would you expect? Only because it would silt further down and into the Lake Meadowbank area. So is there any thoughts on further mitigation of erosion?
Again, the way that we take out the willows will need to happen in a staged manner. So we only take them out where we can make sure that we're reducing the flood impacts on the towns and that we make sure that when we do the work that you put down some grass seeds straight away, so you're getting that ground cover being bound by the grasses quickly, so it's an annual grass, so it pops up quickly, and then you've got a perennial that starts to make its way up as well, so you get ground cover as quickly as possible. But because we're trying to do it in a staged place, safe anywhere where there's flood, open flood areas where you've got soil, so rather than the rocky gorges, you'll just need to manage it so that it's staged, and if you do have bare ground, you make sure that you put down a suitable grass species to make sure that you bind it back.
The flood mapping that was done for a council, since it's on file in the record here, are you going to be using that as any sort of a guide whatsoever?
Sorry, say again.
The flood mapping that we have done for Ms. Bellicle or for our council, will you be using that information at all?
It's interesting because I've gone through the report. And we will try and use it where we can. It's really, the recommendations in the report talk about a staged approach to the willow control and coming up with a willow control plan. So we're doing that piece of it. But in terms of the actual modelling and what it says, it's not so relevant for the work we're doing. It's just more like we need to approach the willow control in a staged manner and make sure we're providing native vegetation to come back, and then we can keep moving.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Councillor Orr.
So if you look at the two river jobs Dawn Cashman have done in the Derwent Valley, that's at, from the council chambers at Hamilton up to the Weir and the Ouse River, grants are hard to get. Dylan Cashman spent his own money. I think it was about 100 metres or something. The money ran out at the Platypus Walk before we got to the Weir.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was our own money.
Okay, yeah.
Dylan Cashman spent his own money on maintaining the plantings. On the ooze, mostly on council is a good contributor, but some of the other landowners struggle with it.
Yeah.
Alright. I don't think there's any chance that money's going to get wasted.
Well, far from it. It's leveraged. We've leveraged this project to the hilt.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much.
No other questions, councillors? Really appreciate it. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, I'm just going to wait to hear Hydro too.
Okay, that is good. Yes, so now we'll invite Don and Bree from Hydro if you'd like to come forward. This is about the Tarralea redevelopment project.
Just while we're setting up the presentation, I've met most of you. I've been working on the Tarralea project now for nearly 3 years.
Go around the table then.
Yeah. Don Thompson, I'm in the social and environmental approvals team, but mainly on the social side of things. I've been writing the social impact assessment for Tarralea redevelopment and also doing the social contributions to the environmental impact statement through what we call a social impact assessment, which we've been writing lately. And Bree, I think most of you met last time we came to give you a briefing. I think Bree can. So
I might
Bree
just
explain.
Go around the table and introduce our councillors.
Sure.
We've got Deputy Mayor Allwright, Councillor Miller, Councillor Archer, Zeeshan is our finance man, Councillor Honour, Councillor Meacham, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Hall, and our acting DM Stephen. And of course we've got the CATS, our Community Development Officer. You probably know Damien, you know Eve, and Steve over there is in our gallery. So thank you.
Yeah, so I'm moving a little bit more into the Satana Pumped Hydro project next, the social impact assessment on that. And so over the next couple of months we're going to be transitioning a bit so that Bree's going to be sort of heading up the community engagement and stakeholder engagement parts of Tarawea with it, so you'll be probably seeing more of Bree. And she'll explain what that might look like. But yeah, I can certainly come and help answer questions. I'm also progressing on the local benefit sharing strategy that we've been developing. So I'll certainly be keeping involved in that as well moving forward. But yeah.
Great.
I'll hand over to Brody.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brody.
And she's going to present an update on where we're at.
Do you want to, if I can say, on the slide on my end? Do you want to speak? So thanks for having us, everyone. I did meet you briefly last year. I had just started my journey at Hydro, I think, when I was here a year ago. So a bit has continued since then, and really sinking into the role and the Tarawea redevelopment project. I thought today would just provide a general overview of the project and what's been happening since we last came and spoke to you. We do have some things to leave with you so you can read a bit more in greater detail. We've got an overview of the recent kind of business case at this preliminary stage that I'll leave for you to read in detail. So, next slide, thanks, John. There's been lots of different work streams that have been progressing in the last 6 to 12 months on this project. They all are kind of their own projects in themselves internally, but from the outside, it can be a little bit confusing. So I'll try to cover it simply for you. But again, you can read it more in greater detail with what we leave you. So we've really been working towards procurement for Tarawea redevelopment project and finalising our procurement documentation in preparation for it to go out to market. We've also been addressing the options and viability of the actual project, progressing the approvals, which also includes council approvals. Don's been working on the local benefit sharing governance framework, refining our technical designs and doing some insurance processes internally. I'll step through each of these in a bit more detail. So as options of viability, we've updated the business case. We've assessed the various options, which are, you know, things like do nothing, have a minimum refurbishment for a short period of time, redevelopment with head ponds, and the redevelopment with a pressurized conveyance. And basically all the assessment keeps leading back to the preferred option is the redevelopment with the pressurized conveyance. So that's what we are progressing. The estimated cost is now $1.96 billion based on 2024 real dollars. So that is up from what you might have heard previously, and that incorporates things. We've got more technical designs. The scheduling is a bit more solid than what it was previously, inflation. But interestingly, the modelling also shows that the returns have increased as well, the potential returns. So it still makes sense from a viability commercial aspect. The redevelopment will provide 30% more electricity from efficiency gained, more revenue back to Tasmania. We estimate 250 jobs during construction, and it'll reduce the risk of environmental incidents from occurring next to the TWA. We've been refining our technical designs and so that they're ready for the approvals and procurement documentation. In regards to preparing for procurement, we've spent a lot of time drafting essentially the contractor requirements, which are called the project execution requirements. And that has everything that they will be essentially accountable for and
we will be monitoring them to make sure they carry that out. We plan to notify the market soon. If we haven't already, it might have happened in the last week, that we're aiming to release the RFP in early next year. And more importantly, for Don and I, we've been working with the Tasmanian Industry Capability Network, known as the ICN, to try to procure as much local business opportunities as possible. So the arrangement is Hydro won't be employing local businesses and contractors directly. We're employing a tier one, a large contractor themselves. They will be doing all of the smaller subcontracting, but we want to ensure that there's as much opportunity for local businesses as possible. So we're partnering with the ICN to get local businesses to sign up with them, and then our contractor will be required to work with the ICN on the local businesses who have so that they're interested in working on the project. As far as project insurances, so internally we've been going through this, what's called a gateway framework, and it's used quite regularly interstate by government departments, not so much in Tasmania, but Hydro is trying to take an initiative by using this framework. So the first step, quite some time ago now, was the project initiation decision. We went through gate one, which was selecting the concept and then getting the concept approved. And most recently, we completed gate three, which was ensuring that we're ready for market. So the gateway process is basically a review by a panel of external experts that have worked on hydro projects before. And coming in and looking at all of our documentation, we all get interviewed. It's quite a lengthy process. And them giving us a tick of approval saying that they think we're ready. So still to come is gate four, which would be the final investment decision, and further into the project once it gets going would be handing it over to awarding the contract to a contractor, and then eventually the project will close. Don and I work in the approvals team as well as the engagement team, so we're very much involved in the approvals that we're preparing at the moment. You might have been made aware we withdrew our previous EPBC federal referral and resubmitted in June this year, and that was largely because there were some technical changes, and the federal government actually said it makes more sense from their point of view if we withdraw and resubmit, so that's what we did. We've also got the state and local approvals coming up, which is most important for you guys. So we've got the environmental impact statement. We pretty much just finalised a draft. We're aiming to lodge the final document in mid-September. That will trigger the DA as well, and they'll be both going on public exhibition, likely to be October into November. So that's where you'll see us really out in the community a lot more, doing community info pop-up sessions. It'd be great to come back to council, run you through the environmental impact statement, some of the mitigations we've identified through the social impact assessment as well. And that's when we'd really be asking you guys to go out and talk to community members and make them aware, because that's their opportunity to make any submissions for or against or whatever they like, which is really helpful for us. We've also been working on the local benefit sharing governance framework. So I remember when we came and spoke to you almost a year ago now, we talked about the local benefit sharing strategy. We're now stepping through how that would actually look and how that will be managed and governed. So Don went out recently and visited this area as well as the Sathana project to try to work out what it could look like and what the issues are and what we're trying to actually assess. We've got a roundtable with RecFit this week. They're trying to have a collaborative approach to community benefit sharing in Central Highlands with all the projects happening recently. And we also spoke with, I believe his name is Martin, who was doing your...
Finally.
Yes, yes.
which was great to have a chat to him about what we're thinking with local benefit sharing, and really emphasise that, you know, it'd be great for council to really try to get people together and work collaboratively rather than each proponent.
So a collaborative approach that includes talking to council, is that what you're saying?
Of course.
Alright, I'm just confirming that.
Of course. Yeah.
But I would actually talk to councillors and the council, you know, around the table.
Yeah.
What it looks like, how it works.
Councillor Cassidy is waiting to ask a question.
I'm a bit wary of
Councillor Cassidy is waiting to ask a question.
I'll just quickly finish the presentation now.
Yeah, thank you.
Before you do finish, just a question. You've got the FID, which is the final decision, and you're going through the rest of this. I can only assume that the final decision is likely to get a tick off.
We hope so. So basically, the procurement is the final investment decision will come after we engage contractors with the RFP and get some more detailed costings. Then we will prepare a final investment decision, which Parliament will need to approve, as well as Hydro itself, if they're happy with it before it goes to Parliament.
There was a plan to coincide the finish of it with the opening of Mariners Link. Is that still happening, or? Because it's actually dependent on Mariners Link, isn't it? They didn't want to.
Mariners Link got it for you, didn't it?
The timelines have skewed a bit since.
Skewed a bit,
So they're not. I think there would be more confidence to make the final investment decision once Mariners just go is it's all happening. But it's not entirely dependent, because there's a whole lot of. The other big reasons, I guess, to proceed with the redevelopment is around risk management of the canal, the number one canal, and those environmental risks, as well as the efficiency gains and just the fact that it's an 85-year-old so there's still benefits in it. It makes more sense with Mariners, but that's all outlined in the business case of believing behind it.
So when we get to, I think I pretty much talked about that. So once we actually work out the governance framework across all our major projects, we will be developing a specific action plan for the Terralea redevelopment project, which is what we would be hoping
to do. That's when we'll come back to the council, whole council and councillors as representatives in community.
So the two bits of engagement we'll be doing soon is around the environmental impact assessment and the DA period, and that's where we'd like to probably come and bring our environmental advisors or planners and all that to come and speak to you in detail. And then again with the local benefit sharing action plan when we get to that stage. The local benefit stuff, though, I just want to be clear about expectations. We can't progress it too much until we have a bit more certainty the project's actually going to be funded and go ahead, because that's when the money will kick in. So there's still quite a bit to do across all those different work streams before the project commences. We need to actually commence procurement activities, so that's releasing the RFP to market. And I'm not sure how familiar you've been briefed on this before, but we're going out for RFP. We'll get a number of quotes and contractors who are interested as a result of that. We will select two, and then we will go through an ECI process, which is about 8 or 9 month process, where we work with both of those contractors independently. They prepare a very detailed bid, and then one will be selected. We're going to continue to assess the commercial viability and funding strategies, obviously, because we need to ensure we've got the funding to go ahead with it. I've spoken about the approvals and engagement that is coming up, and eventually a final investment decision will be made based on the quotes provided and a bit more detail from the contractors, and eventually Hydro Tasmania Board and parliamentary approvals, and hopefully we get to the stage where the project commences.
Very good questions, Councillor Cassidy.
Yes, brief. I have roughly three questions, and they're probably well above my pay grade. But the $1.96 billion that you mentioned, has that already been budgeted, or is it dependent upon the state of our state's budget deficit and blessing by Parliament. So if they don't get their act together, does it mean that your project will go unfunded and then you will not be able to progress it? That's question number one.
I think it's part of the funding strategy, mm-hmm. which I'm not an expert in, but I can get back to you on the detailed questions around that. But Hydro Tasmania will be spending some of its own money, I believe, for Terralea, but it does need supplementary funds, and I suspect it's not currently sitting in Parliament's budget for this financial year. I don't know about future years.
Is any of this federal? Is
yes.
any of it
there was a commitment as part of the Mariner's deal for more federal funding for Terralea, and there's also, I think, one of the main avenues, I think, for funding mission strategy team we're all working with, and you know, I'm not no expert on it either, but there's also, yeah, the Clean Energy Finance Fund and like this federal money. And
so you could retire before this project is actually completed.
No. One other thing I'll share. So we'll be leaving this book behind with one for each of you. I'll also share it electronically with Stephen or Katrina. I'll also send a link to the whole estate business case that came out recently. I'm not sure if you've had a read of that, but that steps out a lot of the financing and funding and costing in a lot more detail. It's pretty easy to read. I'll share that as well.
Okay. So the other question that I have... I'm sorry, Madam Mayor. You mentioned early on about 250 jobs. So is that 250 jobs by one person, or do you think it'll be 250 personnel? And will those personnel, will they be fly-in, fly-out? Will they be commuting? Will they be in residence at Terralea? Or we've got some facilities at Waiatina that we've been, as a council, been discussing perhaps, you know, we might be able to hug out to you. I'm sorry. But anyway, more seriously, let's say you're 250 workers. Occasionally, things happen on the job, and they may need to see a doctor, and we sure could probably use Hydro's help to pester the state and federal government to get us a GP in Ooze. I know that may not necessarily be your remit, but it may help you guys in the long run, so you don't have to send them all the way to Hobart. You know, you can just send them right to Ooze, you know, just down the road, 30 minutes from you guys. You know, those are areas that Hydro, I believe, could help a small council like ours. I'd like to leave that with you, okay?
Yep, we definitely are aware of that, and I'll let Don talk about
it. Our main social impact assessment we've done, the main impacts that we're going to have socially around housing, traffic, transport, safety on the roads, and worker health and safety. So I think, as we've said last time we were here, the intention is, and the reason we brought the Terralea village back, is we're going to build a temporary workforce accommodation facility at Terralea that'll house those, that'll have a 250 bed capacity, so all of the construction workforce will be housed there. There'll be bused in and out from either airports or regional collection centres, depending on the makeup of local and or interstate workforce. To minimise traffic and environmental impacts from the transport, and those the project execution requirements that we talked about before, if they stipulate for the contractor that they've got to have health and emergency services on site, they've got to be able to sustain life for 24 hours, because sometimes you can't even rent a helicopter up there if the weather's bad. So there'll be an emergency helipad, and all of that stuff is still being worked out.
So are you saying there'll be a GP or a doctor up at Terralea then?
Yeah, but we're also, Council Millen knows, we've been talking to Hatch for several years and other. And with the department and Primary Health Tasmania, and trying to work out how through the benefit sharing program, we might be able to also support that community health capacity.
Okay, we've got Councillor Meacham and Miller waiting to speak. Councillor Meacham, and all right, is it?
A quick comment for Don, a quick question to Don and a comment to Bree. Don, what's the time frame on the Savannah project? Because I see that as really quite essential for smoothing production.
Well, we're going through all the same steps, but Safarm's a little bit, probably 6 months behind at the moment on
Charlie. Only 6 months, okay.
And then so the final investment is maybe a year beyond Charlie. But yeah, it's still progressing in a similar way. We're still going through the same gateways and the same sort of approvals processes and the same planning around workforce. That's a bigger workforce.
Yes, the Santana one, the pump top.
So that's still very much active and.
Councillor Miller, you
had a second point was something to breathe. With reference back to the RecFit stuff and a collaborative approach to community funding, we pushed. You may not know this, but renewable energy plants don't pay rates, including hydro. And that could be for us, should be for us, a really major source of income. And the solution state government has come up with is, looks pretty unworkable or very difficult to work at the moment. Now, RecFit, we push them towards influencing the government to the pilot system which exists on the mainland. I think RecFit instead put their energy into this collaborative approach, which is, it's a sideshow. That's just good information. But your perspective on that would be good too.
Yeah. So I was just having a chat to Stephen before we started. I don't have a strong understanding of private developments in renewable energy, but from what I hear you're saying is they don't pay rates either?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we're going through, the state has enabled the AAB approach to it, which is we will be billing the landowners, not the operators.
Okay.
In Victoria and South Australia, it's pilot and they bill the operators.
Yeah.
Much, administratively a whole lot easier. Yeah. But also,
and more equitable.
And if you believe in competitive neutrality, we should be embracing that.
Yeah.
And it's just not happening. Yeah. And competitive neutrality is being previously imposed by the Commonwealth. I don't know why they don't in this case. I believe that they have applied it to hydro in relation to your payment to the state government.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I think the bottom line that David and council will be making to or appealing to hydro is that, you could help support this small council. We have to provide services to hydro, in fact, and that costs man hours, costs us money, resources, time to manage. Hydro could help us out.
Yeah, I totally understand.
If you could bring that back to your CEO, this is something that needs to be discussed. In fact, he should come here and talk to us.
It's a she, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
Rachel Watson is in.
Councillor Miller had something to say.
You were talking about council talking to the community about what's happening. But to do that, and I know we've put this around the table many a times, and it's either got into the too hard basket or it's been forgotten, but we need to visit the hydro scheme of what's happening up there and get the information as we see it. So I really would like the council to think about what days we could make it and really get into it, not put it into the I'll leave it for next month. If we're to help the community and understanding it, we need to understand it. I'd like council to think seriously about when we can, even if we have to go up in two groups,
The offer's always there.
We'll work on that. Councillor Aura.
Thanks for raising that, Councillor Miller, and it would be great if we could do that prior to or during the exhibition, which isn't far away.
So you might send some information.
Great.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
You can let us know when that exhibition is.
Mid-October to November is...
Oh, better time of the year.
Might be above your level of expertise or however go. If you need some savings to get it across the line, maybe you could leave the roof off the off the building.
Oh, put solar panels on.
Well, I don't know what.
Thank you for the suggestion. I'll take that back.
Righto. Back to you, Bree.
So I think that's about it. We're definitely keen to come and talk to you again. Let's get some tours organised, help you feel informed, have a read of this, which we'll leave with you. I'll send the whole aspect of this case. And we're always here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Do you have anything to
add? No, I think so.
Another
time.
Very good, thank you.
All right, councillors, could I please have someone to move a recommendation to go back to 12? Councillor Cassidy Hall. Cassidy Hall, agenda item 12.
Sorry, who's the mover?
Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Hall. Those in favour of moving the agenda back? Is there anyone? No, all in favour? That is carried, thanking you. Alrighty, so we'll go back to 12. Operational matters, 12.1, health and wellbeing. Go to page 22. Oh, okay, thanks, Katrina. Save me going through so much paper. Alrighty, a recommendation mover, Councillor Honour. Seconder, please, Councillor Miller. That the health and wellbeing report be received. Councillor Honour, do you have anything to start this off with? Councillor Miller as a seconder.
What I've got to say is in 4.3.
Councillor Laws, any comments? No? Alrighty, I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Alrighty, that is carried. 12.2, mover please. Councillor Honour, Councillor Allwright. Councillor Honour, anything there?
No, we're well. They need to keep upgraded.
Yep. Thank you, Councillor. Allwright, the second.
So the West Away Community Hall, Dillon Valley, we generally go halves to Dillon Valley, but they put a lot of other money into that site. So I think it's fair, and I think they're putting in $1,000 for that this particular project that they've put in, probably, don't you mind, 100,000 or something.
Yeah.
You know, they put a lot of money into that site.
Those, yes.
The toilets and all that, and roofing and everything, and grant money. So I think it's fair.
I think it's very fair. I went through and had a look too. They've done a hell of a lot on their own with that.
And they've got a strong association there, and they have some good functions.
Yeah.
And half of the Central Island residents anyway.
Well, yeah, that's true. Okay, councillors, Councillor Archer, then Miller.
Yeah, I think that we should be concerned about not having the same level of support for our council's works at Gretna. And I think this is outside our municipality, and we should focus our funds on the existing municipality, not supporting structures in other municipalities where we're not getting a similar level of support. And I'd be happy to do a trade-off if they make contributions to Gretna, but I think that we should support this application.
Thank you, Councillor Miller.
Councillor Archer, just taking words right out of my mouth. With the Westaway, I'd like to see the money spent within the municipality of the Central Islands. I know that we use the hall sometimes, people from this municipality. And I know that the Durham Valley Council's put a lot of money in it, but I'd like to see more money, that money go into our own, because we've got a lot of buildings that need some work done on it. As we said, the Gretna Hall, the Ellendale Hall, the showgrounds. So I'd like to see that money go to us.
Councillor Meach and then Cassidy.
Thanks, Anthony, for the lead on this. I'm very much of the same point of view that if you look at the budget that this would come from, $15,000 over the year, we've already spent $2,000 of that. I think that there are more worthy initiatives within our control, within our area, that serve directly our community. I don't favour this one at all. And I also take Anthony's point that we don't see Derwent Valley Council coming to assist us with the Gretna work, which has been, you know, pretty, it's been slow, that budget. Thank you.
Councillor Cassidy?
I would like to offer a compromise. How about $1,000 instead of $2,000?
You're asking for $1,500.
It's got $2,000
on my $2,000 recommendation.
$2,000.
It does.
In 2024.
Are you amending a motion, this recommendation?
Surely. I would certainly go along with that. It's,
Are you amending the motion?
Yes.
So that would have to be agreed by Councillor Hunter and all right?
No.
No?
No. Is there a seconder to $1,000? No seconder?
Lost. Back to the original
motion.
Thank you. Okay, back to the original. Councillor Allwright, did you speak to that as a seconder before I... So now we'll get Councillor Honour to close as the mover.
It is used by a lot of Central Highland people in the vicinity of it, so I don't have a problem with it.
Thank you. So I will now put the recommendation forward. I'll go for for and against. Those for the recommendation, please raise your hands. Councillor Allwright, Honour, Hall and Triffitt. Those against, please raise your hands. Against is Councillor Miller, Archer and Meacham.
I'm going to abstain from this.
That's against.
It's against.
So you're still abstaining, Councillor?
Yeah, no, I think a compromise is always a good thing, rather than let the thing fail.
So that's 4 inch.
That's lost.
Lost.
So that is lost.
Yep.
And nobody's going to move compromise?
12.3, community donation request from the Bothwell Careers Expo. A mover, please. Councillor Honour moving. Councillor Cassidy seconding. Councillor Honour to speak to it.
They've done a lot of work to initiate this, and yes, it's well earned.
Councillor Cassidy is the seconder. Councillor Laws, Councillor Miller.
This is the fight. Although it's only 500, this is what I mean. We need to spend our money on in the area, not outside the area. So the 500. If that's all they're asking for, then yes, definitely.
Any other councillors' comments? All right, back to the mover to close. Councillor Honour.
Just a worthwhile project.
Thank you. I will now put the recommendation forward. We haven't got a minute taken.
Yeah, no, I've got it.
Okay. Those in favour of the recommendation, it's carried. We don't have to worry too much. That is good.
Katrina moved out because she has an interest.
Oh, okay. Very good. That was carried, Katrina. Thank you. 12.4, youth activity support. Mover, please. Councillor Cassidy. Seconder, please. Councillor Miller. Okay, Councillor Miller is the seconder. Would you like to speak?
Councillor
Cassidy, I missed you.
Yes, sir. No, I think it's a worthy donation.
Yep, Councillor. Councillor Miller.
Oh, definitely. If it helps parents during the school holidays to entertain their kids and keep them off the streets, firstly. Then definitely, yes. Any school holiday program is a good program.
Councillor Archer?
Mayor, I'm wondering if we should make this flexible enough so that if they get 22 kids, for instance, that the council agreed to pick up the slack above that in KBO. I've got no idea how many. Cat might be able to tell us if that's going to cover the expected kids, but I just don't want to see families miss out because we haven't budgeted enough money for it when it's not a huge amount.
Would you like to comment, Kat?
Yes, and that was my thinking. The 20 was a little bit of a nominal guess to the number of kids that we would have. They certainly can take more for more Tasmania. I wanted to put it in there so you had a figure to start with, just to sort of see what you thought about that idea.
It does sound like a lot of kids, children, like Leary, doesn't it?
It does, but if it's a free... So it's $40 the cost, which in speaking with the school and local parents, we decided that we wouldn't get anyone attending, or not enough people attending, that it would be unaffordable. So I guess there's a couple of different models that I was considering. One is $5 and we council pays the rest, but then definitely we could have more children at it.
We don't want to be subsidising Southern Tasmania for it, but we do want to make sure local kids get the opportunity.
Could it move in an amendment to allocate up to $1,200?
Well,
hang on, this is not a conversation around the table. I'll go back. Kat, if you finish commenting, and thank you for the report and the recommendation. Councillor Meacham's next, and then Councillor Honour.
Well, that was my point, I've moved an amendment to allocate up to 1,200 and see what gets taken.
For local kids, though,
Yeah, local kids, yeah.
Is there a seconder for that amendment?
You can't, you already seconded this one.
Oh, okay.
I'll say that then.
So we have Councillor Meacham with the amendment and Councillor Archer for the seconder, was it?
To the amendment, yes.
Yep, to the amendment. And what was that amount again?
1,200. Up to?
Allocate up to 1,200.
1,200.
That should be peaked, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
So that's the amendment.
I believe it'd be 500.
That's the amended recommendation. So we go back to any comments, councillors? Okay, we go back to Councillor Meacham to Clyde.
Can we just be clear about what the motion is, though?
What we're talking about now is an amount up to $1,200 for local children.
That's right, but $40 per.
Yeah.
As long as it's at that word.
Yes.
Great. Just so we understand what we're going.
Just to ask a question, Kat, if you have someone that comes along that's a local child and they've got their little friend staying with them for holidays, how do we go with that? You can't basically turn them away.
Yeah, I would say that we just use our common sense judgment there, and that it would be advertised as, when we advertise it, we advertise it for Central Highlands students, and when someone's got their cousins staying with them, then they would, that would be, that conversation we'll probably be having with the registration with Football Tasmania and the parents, and I would probably just give them that advice around that. To a degree, self-nominating because of privacy concerns. We're not going to be looking at people.
And we leave that to your discretion. Yes. I just wanted to clarify that.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
If that scenario happened and we had the 30 places already filled, then that we would then take a Central Highlands child before the a child outside the area.
If we're talking about $40 at the end of the day, I don't think we'll muck around with it too much.
I just want to clarify that was all.
Once they're registered with Football Tasmania, I don't think we'd be then deregistering the child to attend.
That's fine. Thank you. That's all I needed to know.
Alrighty. Any other questions before I put the recommendation up? Councillor Honour.
It will be easy to get that amount. I pick up 11 young children from just out of hospital to the school. So it's going to be easy. And I've done that.
Yeah. Okie doke.
I don't know. Like, some of them probably won't do it, but yeah, there would be enough children in the area.
30 kids, 12 months to cover 32 months, 30 kids.
It's between, there's the age group between 12 and 18.
That means I can't do it.
No.
I don't think so, Councillor. Probably not a good
one. A pair of shorts and the long socks and the things.
We won't go there either, I think. Where were we? Okay, back with, it was Councillor Meacham that moved it and Councillor Archer that seconded it.
Have we closed the discussion?
I was just going to get Councillor Meacham to close.
Could I have another quick word. What I would be envisaging is that the Football Tasmania is going to have a fixed cost in this. There'll be $2.50, that's what it costs them to run the day, and they're only charging the kids to try and recoup that. So there should be some flexibility, I would afford to work with you, and say, look, we're giving you $1,200 to get someone in a car for 3 hours. Really? Come on, talk to us.
When we go back to them with hopefully this decision, hoping that we can have that discussion around the flexibility. They came to us in that they identified that this was a place that was missing in terms of the outreach that they're providing. So they're very keen to support kids in school holiday programs or something that we're focused on for the next year. So hopefully that more.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. So can we just hear exactly what we have on the books now as the recommendation?
Council allocate up to $1,200 for local children for the school holiday program.
Thank you.
That's fine.
Okay, so you close now, Councillor Meacham?
Yeah, I'm happy to see if that's the wording I have in mind. Thank you.
Alrighty. So it's now closed and I will ask for... raise your hand if you're in favour of the recommendation, and that is carried.
Now we put it again as a substantive motion.
Come again?
It's got to be the substantive motion. That was the amendment to the motion, so it now becomes the motion.
Yeah. So, a second vote.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll go again. Those in favour? Okay. Carried. Yeah. Carried. I'll wave to the hand. Okay, that is carried. Appreciate that, Kat. That's good. Alrighty, 13 is operational matters arising. And 13.1 is the works and services. Any comment? Oh, could I remove it, please? Councillor Honour, Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Honour, would you like to comment?
No, the roads are looking good, yes. We've had a lot of problems with not enough rain to grade them, but they're getting there.
Very good. Councillor Cassidy is the seconder.
I noticed they were doing some hot sheet there in the corner of William and High Street, and I think that's going to be great. The issue that we have is those trucks there are just tearing it up every time they come around the corner. And so, do all this good work, you know, and in short order, it'll be torn up again.
Is that on Council's Nature Strip?
No, the road.
The road itself.
Yep. Off of High Street, turning onto or vice versa, way back onto High Street. So, anyway, it's right there at the intersection. They've been doing the work the past couple of days.
Yep. Okay. Any other comments? Have we got? Yeah. Any other comments, Councillor Mendel?
I know it's not county, it's state road, but I'm going to put my opinion. They did a repair to Franklin Place outside the schoolhouse. That's it, done. The trucks went over it, and it's all messed out. So I would like the council again to have a look at that road. It is breaking up terribly outside the schoolhouse there with the trucks. And I know it's not our job to do it, but it needs to be seen to. And the other thing I'm really, really frightened about at the moment, and thank God that we didn't get any trees on the road, where they've done a new road out, they've done the culverts out between Hamilton and Ouse by Killoran.
Oh, yes.
Those poplar trees. The roots are showing, they're going to grow. So if we can get state growth to, if we can get a letter to state growth on them to have a look at them, I'd appreciate it.
Didn't we send something before?
Had the discussion and they're not interested.
But that was before this work was done. And this work now is, it needs photographs taken and sent to them.
Maybe a letter to the minister.
Yeah, because
whichever really minister quite, it will be.
They're trying to find out.
They're the areas that the trees have been falling in previous years. But yeah, if we can get that outside, I mean, that was just shocking because we prepared what they did. I mean, they didn't even pat it down properly.
Okay.
Do we have a minister yet for the...
Do we have a government?
Yeah, no, we've still got a government. It's the Liberal government at this point in time, and that's what it'll be by the end of the day.
So, you would like a letter written from...
Yes, please. Because they really frighten me, those trees there. There's nothing much holding them there,
Okay.
And they are on... They're not on private land.
We'll go to the minister this time, yes, see how you. We go.
Thank you.
I've got hands up from Councillor Cassidy.
I would like to ask Stephen, is it possible we could pester Elspeth and Lonnie again about the speed limit on the...
I sent her an email the other day about coming out and meeting us again.
Yeah. And also the stop signs there that we voted on.
Yep.
You could ask for that, please. Thank you.
Yes, we can't let it go. Any other councillors, because Councillor Honour is going to close. All right, Councillor Honour, you're closing.
Probably also a letter to the opposition minister.
Yes.
About the trees.
Yeah. Yep.
Someone's going to need to do that, though.
Yeah, because they are all falling down right round the state now, they've snapped in half and that, and of course road closures.
Yeah.
So they should be looking at the safety aspect of trees.
Yeah, it's the same at Rathmore. That's been going on for years. We call it all rights. It's not all rights now, obviously. But those pine trees, if you look up, the dead ones are ready to drop.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think Jason had someone look at that some time ago.
Yeah, it's the property owner's responsibility.
But what if it's like the dead limbs are over our road? How does that go?
We can cut them back. But the thing being is that the trees quite clearly are on their property and they need to deal with them.
And they did get something, didn't they? A letter? Or?
Yes, ages ago. Ages and ages ago, yes.
Perhaps we'll have to send that letter. A little bit stronger, perhaps. Alrighty. Alright, we'll go back to Councillor Honour to close.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That is all good.
Alrighty, so we'll put the recommendation up. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Thank you. That is carried. Operational matters arising. 14.1 is the monthly finance report. We have a session here. If any questions are needed, to be asked to Zeeshan. And thank you for your report, Zeeshan, in detail. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Allwright and Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Allwright?
So I'd just like to commend Zeeshan. He's presented you to me, but I don't know whether. But you might be able to explain that. We've got the split up of our reserves into reserves, some are test for, some are rates and fees, some are community grants and some are community groups. So that's what I've been trying to progress for 6 months. But anyway, thank you, and maybe someone might want to have a look at that. Just in the blue and white there, right? It's just got a bit of a split up, so we've seen
it. Alrighty. Councillors, it's open for you. Any comments?
Well, I'm the second member, I've got no.
No problems? Yeah. No. Alright, as the mover, Councillor Allwright, would you like to close?
That's all good. I'll lock these reports and the commentary that goes with it.
It's certainly well explained, documented.
And that breakup will change every month, depending on how we, community groups want their money out. So we just got a bit of procedure, in my view, to track. For a councillor to track actually how much money we've got discretion over rather than looking at the big figure.
Thanks, Zeeshan. Okay, so those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against? That is carried. 14.2. Mover, Councillor Honour. Seconder, please. Councillor Hall. Okie dokie. Councillor Honour, do you have any comments?
Worthwhile donation.
Councillor Hall.
Totally agree.
Councillors.
It's a good concrete recognition of passing the time.
All right.
I don't think 500 is enough personally, is it? I don't think it contributes much at all. That's what I do.
Are you amending or something? Councillor, what's your thoughts?
I go 1,000.
So you're amending to $1,000? Alrighty. You're seconded, Councillor Miller, so it's moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Miller, to go to $1,000. Rightio, those in favour, please raise your hands.
Can I say something before we...
Yes, you can. Sorry, I should have asked.
That's all right. You want to say... Sorry, did you want to say something? With the cancers that have taken so many of our people in here, and I can pick out probably six just off the top of my head, I think, yes, the more money we put into it, the better. The $1,000, Robert, would be absolutely excellent.
Yes, I mean, as history goes back, there's been a lot of women, especially in Bothwell, that have passed on through breast cancer. It's been unreal. But, of course, there's other cancers, of course, different types of cancer. Okay, the seconder was Councillor Hall, wasn't it?
No, Councillor Miller.
I was seconding.
It's Honor and Miller, Honor. And Hill and Hall for the original motions and the amendment we're talking about.
That's where all those...
Do you ever remember what we donated for Councillor Bowden?
Oh, gee, I can't remember.
I thought it was 500.
Don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point, Councillor Archer.
It was.
Right, that leaves room.
So if the amendment doesn't pass, we can't
go back to the original.
Yes, I read you now because I forgot about Councillor Bowden. Yeah, I not forgot about him, I forgot about the amount. So I put this forward
the now. The amendment's $1,000, which is the one we'll be dealing with.
Yes, the amendment's for $1,000. And if that doesn't go through, of course, you go back to the original. So, those in favour of the $1,000, raise your hands. That's Councillor Orright, Miller, Cassidy, and Hall.
Come on, Mayor.
Those for the 500.
Those against the motion.
Oh, sorry, those against the motion. I've lost my own bookwork here. Okay, those against is Councillor Archer, Honour, Meacham. What are you, Councillor Cassidy? Was you for or against?
He moved the amendment.
You moved the amendment, okay. Yeah, and I'm against the current one.
Okay, so the amendment's lost. We now go back to the original.
Yes.
Back to the original.
Yep.
And may I say, because I feel that that's only fair, both councillors are treated equally if it's passed. So it was moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Hall. Councillor Hall, Honour, do you have any comment?
No.
Councillor Hall?
No, ma'am.
Councillors?
Yeah, we've already
We've sort of done that, haven't we? We've debated it.
So.
Yep, so it's closed.
Yep.
So in closing, Councillor Honour?
Yep.
Yeah.
We should keep it at a...
Yeah.
Consistent.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay. So those in favour, please raise your hands. And that is carried, sorry. Yeah. 14.3, request for rates remission. Mover, please. Councillor, all right. Seconder, please. Councillor Hall. Any comments, Councillor Orr?
So, we've been doing this for 8 years, according to that.
Oh, yeah.
We still get rates off them, don't we? Or is someone able to answer that question or not?
Because
this is just a waste.
That's we still get the general rate. The other
they still get everything else.
It's only the garbage fee that
they don't use, so we've got precedence for that. That's all I'm saying.
Councillor, all right, any comment?
No, I'm just
Councillor Hall?
I thought Anthony was going to say something.
I've got a question there. It's just the language of this.
That's after the seconder. Yeah.
It seems it's requesting remittance for the last 8 years rather than has received.
Yeah,
request that
the correct. But it's not.
Hear about that?
No, it's not. It's been done for the last 8 years.
Right, well, that's fine. But
I've highlighted that bit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I didn't want to go back and revisit what we've already done.
And did you have a comment, Councillor Hall? Or
no, I have no comment.
Councillor Honour?
Yeah, like, he says he travels back to Bellarone. Which way does he go? If he goes through the lake...
He should be using the... Yeah,
there
bend.
Is plenty of solid waste bins on Powhatan Road and Highland Lakes Road. Like...
Okay.
So unless he's going down over onto the Midlands Highway,
Councillor Miller.
Councillor, on when you said there's plenty of bins, what type of poly have you? The skips.
Yeah,
they should be using that.
There's a heap at Arthur's shop. Then you've got
all those western lakes.
Friends Bay.
Yeah.
The other side you've got I think there's three lots of the skip bins.
So maybe we send a letter stating
that was my comment. We send a letter.
Well, if this motion doesn't get up, we'll deal with it.
Make an amendment.
Amended.
Yes.
Yeah.
Victor, we write to the person requesting the remittance, if they would consider using the bins along their route.
The GM's shaking his head. What have we...
Quite clearly what you need to do, you either accept this motion or you reject it. If we turn around and make a suggestion, he's going to give reasons why you can't do it, and how do you deal with it?
Okay, true enough, but
at the same time, we don't want the stuff on the side of the road either, do we?
Yeah, well, the thing is, we'll have to deal with that.
So we'll go back to the mover. Councillor Allwright, seconded by Councillor Hall. Have any other councillors comments? No? All right. To close, Councillor Allwright.
So, given the discussion, and I think Julie probably had a change of mind on it, I didn't realise he lived up at Deloraine, but maybe we ought to reject it and see where it lands.
Yep.
And because we've got to look at, we've had a lot of discussion with conservation groups and that. It's been a budgetary issue if we keep doing it. So maybe we ought to, as GM said, just reject it and see where it lands.
Yeah. So therefore the recommendation
to us about it.
Well, I'll put the recommendation forward and see how it goes. Those in favour of that recommendation, please raise your hands. Well, it's totally lost.
Didn't have a lot of joy, did
you? 14 minutes.
You're going to get an angry letter, Steve. Might be your first one, though, really.
Before we go there, just a simple question. Really not knowing that area, whereabouts is Miller's Bluff?
That one.
Isn't that where you live?
No, it's
right up the top north east of the
Lakes-a-Rell.
Lakes-a-Rell?
Yeah, I'd say Lakes-a-Rell would be easier to explain.
Oh, right.
All righty. 14.4 is request for rates remission again.
Fine, thank you.
The recommendation.
Now he'd go up to Deloraine outside the municipality.
Okay. When we go on our council trip, we'll check it out. Recommendation 14.4, mover please. Councillor Honour is moving. Seconder, Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Honour, anything to comment?
No, it's it's there for the public, it's a toilet for...
Yep. Councillor Cassidy,
Nothing there.
Councillor Laws?
So can I just ask, yes, do we at Central Highlands maintain it or Inland Fisheries? Does anyone know?
Inland Fisheries.
Inland Fisheries, is it?
Inland Fisheries.
Yeah. No.
All righty. Any other councillor comments? Okay, we shall put the recommendation forward. Close, please, Councillor Honour.
Yeah, no, it's worthwhile to remit it as it is for a toilet block.
Okay. Without any further ado, I shall ask for raise your hand in favour of that recommendation. And that is carried.
Mayor, with the next item, do we need... I'd love to see a map and things before we have a discussion of both of them. But I can't do that before we put the motion, can I?
Not really, can you?
It would have been handy if you'd asked before the meeting, exactly. So we could have had it available.
Yeah, well, that's right. I looked through the agenda thinking it might have been, sorry, the attachments, but I couldn't see them in there. There's just a lot of issues that are raised as to, you know, where the Rappo Dam floods land and what benefit does this ratepayer receive from it, and is security an issue and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be unfair to them, but so you really need to hold the foot and see a copy of the titles.
You can actually see it quite well over there. Oh.
You moved that, Councillor Cassidy?
14.5.
And second by Councillor Honour.
Mm-hmm.
Councillor Cassidy, any comments?
No comment. We've been doing it forever.
Have we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Honour is the second. Any comment?
No.
Councillor Laws, it's open. Any comments? Alrighty, back to Councillor Cassidy to close.
No further comment.
Okay, recommendation. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Alright, that's carried, thank you.
Excuse me, Mayor. What Councillor Archer just said, if any of these come up before, can we make, put them in the attachments, any of the maps so that we can see, or photos so we can actually see what... I mean, I've been to this place, so I've seen...
I still can't remember. That
really gives you no excuse.
Exactly. Streets there, I'm just not sure which one we're talking about.
So, Stephen, can that be added to our attachments? Alrighty, 14.6. A mover, please. Councillor Meacham, a seconder. Councillor Wright. Councillor Meacham, would you like to speak to this?
I'm really pleased to see this come forward. This is the potential, not even potential, it'll be very, very real in terms of encouraging visitation to the Central Highlands. It's part of the whole chain of missing links for people bringing electric vehicles down here.
I thought I was the missing link.
I thought we discussed before of one going to
the top end of the park.
So there's really one there,
so it's just outside the park.
Hamilton is one.
Yeah.
Hamilton. Why haven't we included poor old Hamilton?
We're dealing with that one at the moment.
Yeah. We're dealing with that? Okay, back on track. It was moved by Councillor Meacham, second by Councillor Allwright. Councillors, any comments? Councillor Honour and then Cassidy.
It seems a weird place to put it because so many vehicles park there to use the park.
Right.
I know it was discussed a few years ago, and one of the recommendations was out here at the hall where it's sealed would be a good place.
Okay.
Yeah, that was... Longer
vehicles, they park long ways across the end of the park.
Yeah, look, we spoke to them about alternative locations, and quite clearly that's
more visual than outside the hall, and that was one of the reasons why they didn't want it at the hall, they wanted it at the top end of the park.
Are they going to come for us for signage? And
No, they're not. We've had discussions with them about signage.
It's not going to be unsightly big signs.
No, we had heaps of discussions about, you know, the colour of the machines they're going to put in there, all of those things.
No, I think so.
Yeah.
Does that explain, Councillor Honour, for you?
Oh, it does, yes. But I know of a bus and a tractor parked there quite often, parked long ways across the end of the park.
Yeah.
Mm. Right.
So,
Councillor Cassidy, then Miller.
Yeah. Well, last year I had a trip to Bitchino, and I had a charger there across from the shops, and it was busy, and I spoke to the gentleman using the charger, and he said it's great for business, it's great for tourism, so this is a win-win for us.
Thank you, Councillor Miller.
I'm just like to go back to the background part of it, and we were talking about the Hamilton one. The existing council public car park in the corner facing the public toilets.
Yeah, you just opposite the toilets.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be attached to the. It would be a separate.
Well, now the soil is low. That's what the map shows.
Yeah, but it would be on its own, wouldn't it? It would be a separate standing by itself. Wouldn't be attached to the building because there's no.
Well, not a building. It's only a fence.
Yeah. Well, that's all I was. Because this is going back to 2000. This is going back 2 years ago. And since then we've had the amendment block redone. So I was just wondering about the site has been redone since then.
Did we discuss the site could have been also in front of the old fire shed at the council there, where that area is? It's cars parked there.
Where's that? We're looking at Bustle and Hamilton in this one, and I wanted to know whereabouts it would in Hamilton. I mean, this is 2 years ago, and it still hasn't been put in.
Yeah, but the thing is, there is no site for Hamilton.
Well, this is, according to this, it was in the existing council.
Yeah, it was, Canada, but yeah. The one we're dealing with is the one for Bottle, which is the one that got a gig.
So they're still going to put one in Hamilton?
They're still looking at Hamilton.
And
the location you're talking about is pretty much the location where they're talking about if there is going to be one there.
Speak to the motion.
As seconder, and you didn't give me an opportunity to say, so you've got two points. Either stick to this, or can someone explain to me what novation means? Because that's another one. Electric charger. What's that all about?
I had a legal opinion, I guess.
Yeah, novated leases and all the rest of it. Yeah.
Let's go back to
Can
we
just
deal
with this?
I just wanted to verify.
That's okay. Let's go back to the recommendation. Moved by Councillor Meacham, seconded by Councillor Allwright. Does any other councillors wish to speak?
Well, they might have to speak.
We're not sure whether it's for the motion or against.
I'd like to keep chairing, please. If anyone has anything to say, now is your time. Right. Okay. Councillor Meacham, would you like to close?
We thoroughly discussed this some time back about the fighting defence. I'd hate it for us to revisit it. It would require an enormous amount of work on the part of the developers to do it.
Bad
Councillor Cassidy is absolutely right. This is a boon to local business. while I get in charge, I'll go down to John's place and buy another shotgun, probably. So
it could be conflicted. It could be conflicted.
Okay, back on track.
I don't want to do that. Yeah.
Back on track.
Okay. So I thoroughly recommend it. Go on.
All right. The recommendation.
The
recommendation. Those in favour.
Just very quickly, Mayor.
The debate's been closed. Right. I have to say, sorry, Councillor. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Carried. Once the debate is closed, we can't discuss anything.
I'm just going to give the definition of novation. It's a substitution of one party within the contract for another.
Yeah.
Okay, thank
there's
you for that.
It's not a very
handsome friendly word.
Fifteen.
Bill and catchment.
That's correct. 15.1. 15.1.
Councillor All Right.
Okay. Councillor Honour, Councillor All Right. All righty, Councillor Honour, do you have a question? Comment?
Excellent report again.
Okay, Councillor All Right.
So we had Eve today, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good having Eve here today. That was excellent. Any other councillor comments? Councillor Majum?
Oh, just to Councillor Archer stated it much better than I did by pointing towards getting the funds to stuff happening on the ground.
Yeah, and I was disappointed each of us as a criticism because we had one bad experience and I'm sure she's on top of it, but we just need to know that this is where the go is going to go. So we've got milestones that we can look towards, benchmarks and milestones, the same as what she would expect of us in terms of accountability.
Yeah. I would have, if I'd stated it as clearly as she did, she probably would have come back to me equally so. Unfortunately. Thanks.
Any other comments, councillors? Alrighty, Councillor Honour, you're the closer.
No, all straightforward. She's done a very good. They have done a very good job.
Yep, thank you. Okay, recommendation. Those in favour, please raise your hands. And that is carried. 16 is operational. 16.1 is the DES services recommendation, please, Councillor. Cassidy's moved. Councillor Miller second. Councillor Cassidy, do you wish to speak to this?
Yes. So, I know it's an operational issue. Stephen, may I ask, is there any update or intention or status regarding a replacement of a DES manager?
Going through the process at the moment.
Thank you, sir. That's all I have.
Councillor Miller, the seconder, do you have anything to say?
No, it didn't start.
Councillor Laws? Okay, I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Oh, sorry, did I ask you to close, Councillor?
Yes,
I did. All right. Recommendation, those in favour, please raise your hands. That is carried.
I'm going to get 40.
Oh, okay.
Because she had to go out for this one.
Oh.
Okay.
The shed.
Oh, yes, okay. Mover, please, for 16.2. Mover for 16.2. Councillor Cassidy, second to Councillor All Right. Councillor Cassidy, would you like to comment?
No, thank you.
Councillor All Right.
I went to another. It's not really, it wasn't covered in this report. I went to another case, Water One. It appears they're trying to work out.
Tas Waste.
I'm confused, I'm sorry. Tas Waste. Where am I at?
It's one of others, the private woman.
Yeah, so it appears that they're working out how councils can recoup their money, so $700 $500, recoup their money from the cans that get chucked in here. And I've got, you know, these words this long to describe what they're doing, but what else do we have here? Taz Waste discussion container, that's the container refunds. So there's a default proposal, 50% of the money, and this is going to take a year to actually get the funds because they've got to get the cans and then sell them and get the money, and 50% of that money will go to the operator, which is Cleanaway and council as a share, and the other 50% go to the person who put her in the slot. So
we'll get 25%.
Yeah. Sorry?
Yeah, 25% actually.
Well, yeah. So, I can't think there's anything.
Oh, Gretna's. I've said that.
Wait till council or I finish this and then
Oh, that's about the basis of it all. So there's no great big budget implication for council.
Okay.
But anyway, at least it gets them off the street.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's discussion also around expanding the number of sites. So the initial, I think the initial thing was, let's say, 40 sites around the state. It's now gone up to 43. So that as the success of them is evolving, they're moving to more locations. But you can't just, you're wasting ink if you're going to write to them and say, come here. You've just got to let that happen.
Okay, thank you for that. Councillor Miller?
Oh, yeah, two things. One of the things was that I was pushing, I've had people ask me about pushing for one of the recyclers at Hamilton because they come over to Bothwell and they're going to wait there and wait there, or it's full, the amount of times that it's full. There was that push for the recycler at Hamilton. But the other one I want to bring up, and it's brought to my attention, our rubbish removals, which come today, they don't go up to Hamilton Plains. Now, there's no reason for them not to go up to. So, can we find out why they don't go up? I've been asked by Christine Russell.
She's tried that a few times, yeah.
Yeah, why, and I know that there's more houses up being built up there now.
Yeah.
Why they don't, there's no reason for them not to go up.
We'll find it.
Thank you, that would be fantastic.
It has been brought up over the years, but no.
We need to expect an increase more houses
in the service.
And
taxes.
Yep.
We have a quarter of the report that we're supposed to be voting
on. Of the stuff I've said is in there.
So, Councillor Meacham had his hand up and Councillor Archer.
Okay, can I commend the use of, I've been using the recycling down here, great. You need an app on your phone. I don't, I nominated Hobart City Mission as the receiver. I put in $12 worth, I think, the other day, so really worthwhile. Easy done, easy download.
Thank you. Councillor Archer.
No, everything I want to say has been said, ma'am, thank you.
Oh, okay, thank you. Back to Councillor Cassidy. You still have the opportunity to speak. I haven't closed it. Would you like to speak?
Yes, please. I've never lost my train of thought. I've lost it. There's something to do with the opening hours, because this one here, they're operated on private premises, so they can only operate in working hours. So that's, people come from Hamilton and moan because they get here and it's closed. It's, just understanding the system.
Okay, so then I'm going to close.
Now I'll ask you to close, Councillor Cassidy.
Perhaps you could make contact with them and suggest that maybe they put another article in the Highland Digest or the Derwent Valley or the New York News to let them know what the operating hours are of these various machines in Bothwell and so forth. This way it will inform the public so they don't waste the drive coming all the way here to Bothwell.
I did ask them to do that a long time ago when it first happened. But
I don't think we've been working for three months.
Yeah.
Sorry, Steve.
No, it hasn't been ignored, I don't think.
Withdraw that last comment.
Right, so we're back to Councillor Cassidy, who has just closed. So I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Is there anyone again? I can't see. Yep, Councillor. That's carried. Alrighty. 17 is operational matters. 17.1 recommendation. Councillor Honour. Councillor Miller. Councillor Honour, would you like to comment?
No, very straightforward.
Councillor Miller is the senator.
No, it's very straightforward.
Councillor Laws. Councillor Allwright.
So, I reckon this media policy is pretty good, you know, about what we need. But I'm a bit concerned that it's actually media policy plus social media policy. So the next article is a social media policy. So is there a necessity to double up? So I'm not actually specifically talking about this, but I mean this should be classified.
Well, unfortunately, they do cross over, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there's considerable commentary in the media policy about the use of social media, but then we've got another policy about social media.
Yeah.
There's hundreds of policies, eh? Okay, the recommendation was moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Miller, Councillor Laws, Councillor Archer.
Mayor, I've got some concerns with the emergency management part of the media policy, but I also got a couple of questions before that. Is this the first draft that we've seen of this, or is this a rehash of the previous one?
There's been two goes at it.
Well, under the emergency management plan there, and I think you cover it off simply by, at the time, saying you're speaking on your own behalf rather than council's. But during the Maynard fires, we had big problems with the fire service.
We did.
And I, just as background, had a phone call from the fire service the night before the fire emergency when it was supposed to go to the East Coast and asked, can you marshal farm units? And I think we got 70 people on the fire ground. It was basically the farm units. But we want you to hold back 30% of those units because we think there's a wind change coming at lunchtime. So what we did then is we held 30% of the units back. I had my son and two of our young staff, our people under 30, on the fire ground. Got the phone call at lunchtime. We think the wind change is arriving. Can you send the other units? We attempted to get them to the fire ground, and we were told, no, it's not safe to go into the fire ground now. And so I said, look, don't go into the fire ground, like one way or another. If you do, the police will stop them, and I'll be arrested. So I rang fire comms in Launceston. You know, not a happy customer. The response of the fire comms was, it's too dangerous to put people on the fire ground. That's right. So I rang the Premier's office. Said to the Premier, my intention is to have this in the media in the next hour if this is not fixed. We need to get this done. Got an irate phone call back from fire comms. You've complained to the Minister. I said, no, I didn't, mate. I complained to the Premier. You fellas stopped people getting on the fire ground. That's going to keep happening.
Yeah.
And so they let us on the fire ground. That should not happen. But this media policy says that as long as I'm clear, I think, that I'm speaking as an individual, not as a councillor, that can still happen. But I wouldn't like to say it's prohibited from taking that sort of action in our other lives as a result of this policy. Is that my correct interpretation of the way this is worded?
I would have thought that your interpretation, original one, is that if you wish to communicate as an individual, you're fine.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I was never quoted as coming from council or anything. Because we were liaising with council anyway, council are a really important part of this. Council had all its resources on the fire ground. We had fire tankers there. We had graders, staff. But if we weren't speaking as councillors.
Yeah.
So there shouldn't be a problem.
Ah.
And in regard to social media policy, which is my next question, I'm a dinosaur, I admit, in terms of social media policy stuff. And is this encompassing from people in the room who are familiar with it? Rob, you've been on top of this.
Which motion are we dealing with?
We better stick with the 17.1.
With the social media part of this motion.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll take this as it is, as a recommendation first. Yeah. Councillor Cassidy.
I just wanted to comment, in an emergency situation, life, limb, or property, screw the policy. That's what I say. I'll do what the hell I want in an emergency.
Well, that's right.
You're the captain of the ship. As the captain, I will do anything to save my aircraft and crew and passengers. The hell with regulations. That's the way it works in aviation. That's the way it's working with me personally.
Righty.
Policy or not.
Any other comment, councillors? Right, we'll go back to Councillor Honour to close.
No. Okay. It's time.
I'll put the recommendation up. Those in favour of that recommendation, please raise your hands. And that is carried. Thank you. We go to 17.2, recommendation, move it please, Councillor Cassidy. Second to Councillor Honour. Councillor Cassidy, would you like to speak to this?
Yeah, I acknowledge there may be some dinosaurs in the room, including myself. I am fairly switched on so far as various uses of the internet. But I would suggest if anybody does, a lot of people around the world in very, very high positions in government, in corporate world, in politics have come to grief saying the wrong thing on social media.
Yeah.
So be careful.
It can be dangerous, eh? All righty. Councillors, any comments? The second was Councillor Honour. Did I ask you? No. Did you have a comment?
No.
Okay. Councillor Allwright and Meacham.
So, I reckon it's a bit over the top myself. You look at this bloody drawing ram under here. Well, who's going to look at that and decide that, go through all these links to see whether they can put anything on? It just needs to be simple, like what the part that's covered in the media policy.
Okay.
But
Councillor Machen.
I was just wondering, I can't say that I've read this in depth, but Steve, is there capacity there for you to give standing permission to, I'm thinking Kat in particular, but probably other staff, standing permission to manage social media sites?
Yeah, there is. The real issue I have is that once you get into the world of the social media, you're in. Overbluntly, yes.
Yeah, and I endorse what Robert says. It's a dangerous area, and that's why this sort of professional communication via Facebook, I'm fine with that, just so long as it's actually enabled with standing permission. Thank you.
Stephen, do you mind if I speak to this? Just because I helped
you can
the document.
Sure. Yeah.
So one of the intentions of. Yep. So social media policy is used personally by people, but then the social media that we use is our communication tool. And I guess this is a guidance document for how you might act. Like, if it was really obvious that it was you as a councillor speaking on behalf of council on your own Facebook page and you were talking about council decisions and you were saying something that might not be, something that you would say in this forum. There's some guidance around that. And it's a guidance around how council officers, through the direction of Stephen, would use council, but if you're just on your own Facebook page just saying whatever you want to say, then that that's fine. It's more that identifying in the role as a counsellor when you're making those, having those discussions, if that makes sense.
One of the Legate online courses actually deals extensively with use of social media.
There's great training, and that's written into the policy as well, is that sort of that if people wanted to use that training.
Sure.
Any other councillors? Councillor Miller.
I've read it and reread it. Didn't tell them the first time. From what I understand, this is to make sure that you haven't covered our butts. But as I see it, anything that we do as far as councillors are concerned goes on our laptops here, iPads here. Anything that's in our personal is personal. Now, is that my
as long as you keep, as long as you keep it personal.
Personal, and I don't. Yeah, no, that's.
Don't overstep the mark and bring council into the debate.
Yeah. No, you just need to be careful of what hat you're wearing, and the mayor's a spokesperson for council. Yeah. So yeah, just be careful with it. You can get into a trap. Any other councillors' comments? Councillor Cassidy, would you like to close?
Nothing more to add.
Alrighty, I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Carry on.
You're against.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, were you against?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. The only against is councillor. Alright. So we'll record that. So it wasn't carried.
It wasn't carried.
It wasn't carried unanimously.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, it still technically was.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You just didn't understand. Right, Chad. 17.3, common seal. Recommendation, Councillor Honour. Seconder, please. Everyone seems to be getting tired. Councillor Miller. Rightio, Councillor Honour, would you like to speak to it?
It's very straightforward.
Councillor Miller is a seconder.
Yeah, can I please my ignorance again? The old Taz Water building,
which one is the one that's outside?
Out the back.
Oh, right. Okay, thank you.
Great job, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, wouldn't it be great?
I think it used to be, didn't it?
It used to be, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're labouring it this morning.
That's right.
Already used it.
Yes.
Councillor Miller spoke, and councillors, anything? Back to you, Councillor Honour, to close.
Careful.
Recommendation, please raise your hand in favour. That is carried.
I do, and we did that with the year four with the tennis club too.
There's no supplementaries, is there?
It is to do other stuff.
So 18, no supplementaries, 19, closure of the meeting. Mover, please. That was quick. Councillor Honour, I think, and Cassidy. Alrighty, and where are we?
Going to move the motion.
Just a minute. Okay, I'm just checking my paper. Okay, so any comments, councillors? No? Alrighty. Close, Councillor Honour. Alrighty. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Carried. Time is 12:14.
Yeah.
All righty, thank you. We'll have 20-minute lunch and back on track, please. Reopen the meeting at 1:05. And we. I'm going to read that first. Where is it? Public 21 is the public release announcements. The chairperson announced that pursuant to Regulation 15.8.9 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015 and having considered privacy and confidential issues, the Council authorised the release to the public of the following discussion, decisions, reports or documents relating to the closed meeting. and they are item 2.1, decision that the minutes on 15th of July be confirmed, 4.1, the decision that the new deeds of the electric highway be signed by the acting general manager. Thank you, councillors, for your contribution. I now close the meeting at 1:06.